opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone. So we have a lot of people already in the chat waiting over there on Rumble. Very excited about tonight's guest. My good friend, someone who's been on the show a number of times before, always entertaining, always enlightening, illuminating, you might say. My good friend, John Paul Rice. If you guys aren't familiar with John Paul Rice, but let me just say this, you're in for a treat. We've got this man for the next 2 hours. He is quite literally a human encyclopedia of consciousness-raising information. You're going to love it. You can check out his website. Find that down in the description below. That would be norestrictionsent.com. John is a filmmaker. John escaped the Hollywood control system, and he does incredible work. And besides that, he's just a really great guy. So, do me a favor, don't forget to like and share the broadcast if you're out there, and you can put it out there on Twitter for us, or Facebook, or Gab, or Truth Social, Getter, wherever it might be. I really appreciate it. John, people are already planning to call in the second half of the show. That's great. All right, do me a favor, you guys, if you can hear me, reboot your Rumble. Refresh your Rumble. I'm going to put that in the chat. Refresh the screen, because a lot of times Rumble needs that. All right. In the meantime, do me a favor. Sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, because John and I will be right back after a very brief word from the sponsor of this program. All right. Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. Please join me in welcoming our returning guest, Mr. John Paul Rice. John, how are you, sir?
Hey, Zach. Pleasure to be here with you. Thank you for giving me this time and asking me to be on, and happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, as I said in the introduction, it is my pleasure to be able to have you here. You are an incredible person. You've gone through so much, and you've helped to expose so much, doing great work. And since the last time you were on the program, you've actually had another film come out, and I was hoping maybe we could talk about that a little bit before we start getting into the heavy stuff. Let's talk about the fun stuff.
All right. So, the movie is Game Day, and that is a project that I did in Philadelphia last year, released it earlier this year. And it's a story about family, the real story about family secrets. And we made this movie. It was based on a real life family, a Philadelphia Eagles fan family, multi-generational, Italian American, very passionate. As you may know, some of the people in your audience may know, and they may identify with that. But this was a story that took place on one day over four quarters of football when they were playing their most hated rival, Dallas Cowboys. And in that four quarters of football and the aftermath thereof, the family secrets begin to be revealed through the generations of the grandparents, the parents, the exes, and even the children. And it's a movie that ultimately leads to healing, but it's a very painful journey in some ways, is what I believe is a very realistic interpretation. Sometimes families argue very intensely, but the themes are universal. And it's gotten a great response. It's what you want to do in film. You're going to have people who like things and people who don't like things, but they're not going to forget it. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, today people can go and watch it. You mentioned the website, norestrictionsent.com. It's available on Vimeo. It's available on Amazon. And it's available on Tubi.com for free. So if people want to head on over there, they can check it out at any time. Very proud of the movie. It's the seventh film I did in about 11, 12 years. And it's a departure from some of the other films that I've done. But I feel it's very relevant for this time, is that when you tell the truth, As painful as it can be sometimes, it's also liberating and can begin to heal. So.
Well, something else you said, I mean, it's kind of a metaphor for something I think we're all kind of going through right now. Like that pain is necessary if we're going to grow, not only as an individual, but also as a society. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of things are being revealed about the way the world works and about things that we thought were sacrosanct. You know, I mean, the institutions themselves that govern what we do on a daily basis that, you know, you grow up in America, you think it's America. You know, certain mm-hmm. things are just not going to happen here. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we've been proven wrong. We've been shown that actually there was this horrific stuff taking place the entire time behind the scenes. And the yeah. only way that you can get to the bottom of that stuff and start to address it is when you rip that Band-Aid off. You just got to get right into it.
Yeah, it's a long time coming in some ways that we have been in denial and asleep, collectively, individually, and according to our own understanding of things. And that's, in some ways, it's a blameless crime, if you will, but it's also, once you know the truth about yourself and this world, then you have a choice about what you're accountable for and what you're responsible for. And more importantly, and this is the bigger one, and I think this is a feature of this time too, who you answer to.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nobody that you answer to but you and your higher power, however you understand that to be. Mm. I mean, this is the thing, and I'm going to get off a little bit about the movie here, but
that's fine.
Kind of gets into what we're going to talk about. And we're talking about a godless world that has been behind the veneer of our beliefs projected onto them and what they project onto us. And it's a cycle and a loop. And what there is really after all of this, right? Because we're talking about what we're learning about is everything from the past that has come full circle to the future, quote, present moment or the future, but it's always been here. Like you said, it's just, we are becoming more aware of it in steps and stages. And it's like, if the way I could best describe it is, Jeffrey Epstein was known for years by many people in conspiracy circles, but it wasn't until it became public and was seen that it was real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think that as we move forward in time, there's going to be a lot more that we see now. And the truth is, they know that we're going to be looking for it. The question is, do you think they really care? And that's the part where what care and meaning you put into this world is what's going to replace the void that is left behind. You are looking for an outside authority to come in and change this for you, whether it be elections or a financial system or politicians. Let me just tell you, this is a social issue
mm-hmm.
across the board on a level that humanity has never encountered in our lifetime. To be able to see what we're about to witness is the world. We are watching the world of Satan coming online. A subconscious mind program that is now taking its mask off and revealing itself day by day as to how out of touch it is with each and every single one of us. But the truth of the matter behind this is, no matter what we rail against and what corruption we discover, the choice that we're going to all have individually, not waiting for somebody else to make it for us, because that's what got us into this mess in the first place.
Amen.
But the truth of the matter is, there's going to be other things offered to us in response to this to sedate us yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and this is really where I think it is, we are no longer in a socially cohesive society, and we are no longer in a homogenous or unipolar world, as they describe it. We're in a multipolar world, mm-hmm. which what that really means is that it's whatever you want it to be. And AI and artificial intelligence and technology and surveillance are the godless world that, and I'm not against those things. Let me just be very clear about that. The intention behind them, run by unconscious men, billionaire men who think they know what is best for humanity by showing all of us that we are no better than them. That's what a psychopath does, and that's what AI does, because it is a non-sentient being. It does not have feelings that motivate thoughts. It is not connected to the divine. It feeds off of us and mirrors back to us exactly what all of this other stuff around us was before, but it's dissolving, it's collapsing, the institutions, the things that we believed in. This is not about right or left anymore. That's gone. That's in the mind. That leftism is this and right is this, or conservative is this. No, it's all been a construct from the very beginning. This is not to say that what you believe and what your traditions and your values are of no use to you, but it's not a world anymore of truth rooted in facts, data, or peer-reviewed studies. It's total BS. Mm-hmm. Facts, you can take facts and you can argue them in a context, just like a lawyer can, to present a certain point of view, a perception. And you fuel all of that based on emotional, psychological content that comes from you. They plug into your traumas every day that make you believe in outside forces necessary to compel you to where you are in relation to this world. Trump, Biden, Obama, Bush, war this, war that, end this war, start this war, drop this bomb, drop that bomb, good bombs, bad bombs. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through all of this. False choices. And I'm not saying that you can't vote or think that, let me back this up a little bit. This is not about consenting to the system anymore, but it's striking a balance to where you're going to see people who lose their minds, imagined or real, and they are going to be compelled to fight against this yet again. And this really is what I see happening, is that this rise in narcissistic behaviors, which people point to one side, but really it has a net effect on all of us.
It's very true.
And it has pulled all of us down and made us more dependent on authority or for some outside force to come in. And where you will see the results of this materializing first is in cities, because cities have the highest level of education, highest levels of income, and the highest levels of corporatism, which is a psychopathic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is permeated throughout all of our institutions now. There is no love in politics. There's no love in healthcare. There's no love in the financial system. There's no love in the legal system. It is all about man's law, and there is going to be a world dominated by that, and then there's God and everything else. We have an authoritarianism that was raised by 4 years of a fake news tyranny that scared the holy shit out of a group of people who believed that they were under threat and assault by an ugly-faced truth teller in Donald Trump, the reality show TV host, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not denigrating him.
No,
I'm just
no, no, no.
This is where they
Where's
saw
the
it.
Outrage? I'm going to go off for a minute here, because that's where not, is the outrage? It's been a...
Okay.
That was for later in the show. Sorry, that wasn't okay. Supposed to play yet.
Well, I want to explain how we got yeah. here in a sense, because what we have gone through
mm-hmm.
is we had a champion of the people who came in and called out all the falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
Fashioned a constitutional republic that looked like tyranny and fascism and dictatorship to a certain group of people who were assaulted with mind control operations on the level that had never been waged before. And it programmed them, and it programmed us too. We don't see that yet, but we will. And the thing is that it's easy to call out the false side, but if you're only staking your claims in opposition to the falsehood, where does that leave you with all the other possibilities that are out there that exist? Mm-hmm. We have been given a fear of dying that has stroked the unconscious traumas in billions of people on this planet, such to the point it has nothing to do with what you think about COVID. It has nothing to do with what you think about your government. It has everything to do with the inundation of the deluge of information that speeds up time. And this is a psychological weapon to change and shift the behaviors in people. This is what the media uses. This is what Hollywood uses. This is what your politicians, this is what salesmen use, called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you want an example of it, go and watch Rachel Maddow or Lawrence O'Donnell or even Tucker Carlson, and you will watch how they emphasize things and turn their head and fur that brow and, you know, add a little bit of humor to it. It's a conscious, unconscious show, acts of illusions. And there's going to be a lot of people who will check out at a certain point, and that's really why I'm here tonight, to talk to you and your audience, is to have a conversation about where do we want to go with this, because we are going to have, when I say we, this isn't the collective we out there that we all have to decide. Individually and uniquely, we are going to need to decide how we want to live our lives. But this is the key. They're going to continue this SHIT beyond now. And it's about whether or not, if you do nothing, and what I mean, we're going to talk about what that means, but if you do nothing, they will continue, and they have every right to, because the psychopath is going to assault you to the very end to prove to you that they know that you're no different than they are. The narcissistic psychopath, that's what they are. This is all rooted in narcissists. It's not just psychopaths and narcissists as though they're separate. The narcissist is going to prove themselves right, such to the point that you will make a choice to believe them, because they're going to show you who you are, that you're no better than them. That is who they are at the fundamental core. And I saw this up close in the industry that I worked for many years, different people, high level, struggling actors. It was all there. What you see going on in LA every day, in the governor, with the governor, with the mayor, all the corruption. Karen Bass didn't win that election. Gavin Newsom didn't win that election. He lost the recall. He didn't even win in 2018. Now, I can't go back and prove all that, but actually I could show you some data that would suggest to say, you know how he won California this time? They stopped counting the votes in the counties where he won at 30, 40, and 50%. And you know what you're going to find out too? Ron DeSantis, he won Florida, but he won Florida more than 57% of the vote. He won with 70 to 80% of the vote. They cap everybody at 50. I'm telling you, if people want to know voter fraud, and you're going to see this everywhere, go to Wikipedia 2008. I said this before on your show, I think. Go to Wikipedia 2008 and look at Barack Obama versus Hillary Clinton in the state of New York. She was the New York senator, and she won with about 57, 56, or 58% of the vote over Obama, who only won one county. And you jump ahead to 2016, and you look at her win percentage over Bernie Sanders was identical to Barack Obama's and almost identical in the number of votes. And he won 80% of that state.
Wasn't that odd?
Isn't that odd?
So this, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is the way that they've been able to gradually kind of creep in a believable form of fraud and statistics in this, because every single election cycle, they crank it up just a little bit. Okay. And that's why people, I keep hearing people say this, you know, we're almost entirely divided we're not 50-50. Like, that's not what this is. You don't have 50% of the people who give a shit about the rest of their lives and then 50% of the people who only care about social justice. I mean, that's just not how it is. You can go out in the street and you can speak to people and you know that that's just not true. Even if you go to these large or urban areas, you know, I mean, that's just not what the breakdown is. But what they've done is they have artificially inserted all of these fake votes and all of these illegal votes, made sure the dead people remain on the voter rolls, and then they can tweak those numbers just a little bit to make it look like, oh, you know, the Republicans are just whittling away at their lead, or the Democrats are just starting to overtake them. And then it turns it from blue or red to purple, and then they can switch it to the other side, you know. And unfortunately, we've said this so many times before, but Republicans have undoubtedly benefited from this exact same system of fraud that the yes. Democrats have. Yes. You know, it looks to me like the Democrats are just moving into an age where they take over to a greater degree. And maybe the Republicans who have won in the past as a result of this, maybe the corrupt rhinos, they believe that they're going to allow them to swing it back. I don't think that they're going to give the power back this time, though, if they get it. I think that this is an age where they hope to maintain a forever type of power. I mean, they want to fundamentally change America. They want to do away with our founding documents and the tenets mm-hmm. and rights that we have. And once they do that, they have absolutely no incentive to go back to any other way. Once they have seized complete and total power, they have no reason to hand it back over to us. So yes, they have gradually made this fraud institutionalized, and mm-hmm. They can continue to gaslight the people, make them think that things are changing. You know, people are getting more progressive. If anything, people are getting more conservative as a result of the insanity that we see in front of us.
Yes, and this speaks to where we are now, but where we will be in 2 years or even Thor, for that matter. I wish to tell you, when I started looking at all of these, I don't want to say clues, but indicators, mm-hmm. the Trilateral Commission in 2018, this was after Trump was inaugurated, stated that neoliberal world order was dead on arrival and that it needed to be replaced with something else. Now, for your audience who's well-researched, they know what that means, mm-hmm. what the Trilateral Commission is. But where this all plays out is in time, right? So when you look at the conditions of where we're at and where Biden is, and this is not about Biden or Harris or anything, but where the Democrat Party is in this country, how they're holding on to the thinnest thread to appear to be the illusion. Look, I'm just going to say it like this. Bernie Sanders was the insurgent campaign like Trump was in 2016. He won, and I followed that entire thing, and he won 70 to 80% of the vote in almost every state. This isn't about progressivism. This was about disaffected liberals mm-hmm. who were anti-establishment and were going to break away from the party. And that asshole was a sheepdog for them 2 times to push them back into the establishment in opposition of Trump,
yep.
which was a BS move by him because mm-hmm. he had no intention of fulfilling that. That doesn't matter. It's not about Sanders. He's an unconscious man. That's why he's there. Mm-hmm. That's why almost all of them are there. Mm-hmm. All right. So what this means is that since the second term of Obama, they've been losing elections in state houses and governors at a record clip. And the fraud is the only thing that holds up the appearance that there's, you know, a battle every 2 to 4 right. years that makes us go back and forth. Okay. So here's where we're going with this. The political system in this country is going to collapse in the next 2 years. People are going to lose faith in it very quickly. And people have already started to wake up to realize that who I vote for to send to Washington, D.C., I'm just basically figuring out who's going to screw me less.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
One person's going to hold me down and the other one's going to really nail me, or the other one's going to do nothing and let them take it over.
Exactly.
And then there's going to be a committee and a hearing, and we're really going to get to the bottom of this, and nobody's. It's just basically to figure out what they're going to whitewash, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And who can score political points, which is just theater at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what Bill Cooper talked about 20 some odd years ago. He said, give them a show. Give them the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Throw out the jet, you know, like bring out all of the so that nobody focuses on what's really going on. Now, mm-hmm. here's what I'm going to say, and we're going to get into the Balenciaga stuff because okay. it does tie into this.
Well, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
But where this is going, and this is on a psychological programming level, the 4 years of fake news tyranny gave way to the real tyranny because it was a victory against fascism, Nazism. But really what we're talking about now is the pendulum swinging so far back to the right.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Weimar Republic being replayed again, and people not remembering what happened in Nazi Germany in 1933. Hitler was elected because they were desperate to get rid of the perversion of the Weimar Republic. It had devolved into, and this is where, you know, the Hollywood, just remember, Hollywood is always telling you about the Nazis all the time. They very rarely tell you about the Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the issue here. What we're talking about is messaging and programming to such a level that you don't see real history.
Mm-hmm.
And what history really is not series of events like the Versailles Treaty and how it didn't go the way they wanted it to, and therefore, you know, it enabled Hitler. No, it was psychological programming through the events of psychological events that made possible people to see things as getting rid of something else. Homosexuality was a perversion in 1933, such to the level they had trans people and they had gender fluid people and they had it right out there in front of everyone. And it was also followed by social decay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a confluence. It was a perfect storm of all these things. And this is where you're going to see the Republican Party split off. So when the left tells you that they are Nazis, they're not lying to you. They're Nazis to them, right?
Yeah.
But there's going to be the Christian right and the evangelicals and all this. Now, where this all goes and how it unfolds, and, you know, people all know the agendas and whatnot, but you're going to be seeing a dissolving of the institutions and a dissolving of the religious institutions as well. The corruption is rife throughout all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I'm saying they're dissolving all of this, because our attachments and our beliefs that are held on to these things are going to fall apart as they are right now in stages and steps. And it's giving us, I'm saying this on a higher perspective, not that the people doing all of this to us are trying to enlighten us, mm-hmm. although they think they are.
Right.
It's going to give us an opportunity to say, I don't consent to any of this anymore. And there will be people who wake up and who step right back into the matrix after this.
I mean, I've been watching it for the last 4 years, Joe. You know, I mean, it's like, I've seen it. I've seen people trading one form of slavery for another. And, you know, getting like wrapped up in these cults of personality and falling for the same bullshit. You know, I mean, when you were saying earlier about, you know, some other person not coming to save us, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is going to require a unique and individual effort from every single one of us. And every time I tell people, you need to be active, you got to be doing something locally, people, you know, it's inevitable. They want to know, what can I do? What should I do? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that has to be something that you come to. I don't think that every single one of us doing the exact same thing is healthy, because then we're just...
No.
Now we're just lemmings. We're just following along and we're parroting what somebody is telling us to do. I want every single one of you guys watching to be creative and to determine what is needed in your community. What can you fulfill? What need and role can you do to serve humanity in your own town, in your own county, in your own state? And that's only something that you can decide, because every single person is in a uniquely different position with a uniquely different set of skills. And it's going to be different every single place we go. And I don't begrudge anybody for defaulting to that, because that's what we've been taught. We've been taught to follow. We've been taught to look outside of ourselves. And don't get me wrong, guys, you know that I'm a Christian, okay? I mean, like, God is directing every single one of us. But it is the efforts of man that have blinded us from that divinity that's inside of us, our inherent ability to find that path that God is trying to put us on. So using that as your lens, look and see what you can do in your own community. I want to ask, this is another interesting point you just mentioned, you're right. I mean, I've considered this before. The situation we're living in right now is very similar to the debauchery that we saw in Berlin, which led to the rise of Hitler and the destruction of the Weimar Republic. Do you think that what we're seeing right now with kind of the rise of the Groypers and Nick Fuentes and what the antics that Ye has just been, you know, publicly displaying, do you think that could be part of that?
Yes, and on a much different level than just controlled opposition. People throw that term out there, but they don't really understand the complexity of what that means. So in a conscious game where each person has their own understandings, the dark forces know, let's just say this, every single one of us has a exhaust port, Death Star exhaust port, okay, where we're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And all they have to do is hit that.
That's a great metaphor.
And so Ye could be totally being assaulted and them coming for him, but also them knowing that he will be a polarizing figure, as is Alex Jones, as is Nick Fuentes. So you could get, and I actually showed this to a friend of mine the other day. If you go back and look on BitChute right now, you could look up Wolf Blitzer and David Duke talking on CNN 20 some odd years ago about Zionism.
I remember that.
And David Duke talking about Zionism, it's not like I agree with David Duke, like who he is, because I don't know who David Duke is. Sure. I have been told he's a former KKK member and all, and I'll accept all of that on face value, but is what he's saying true or not true? Julian Assange, you say his name, patriot or Putin's puppet, is what he delivered in those WikiLeaks emails true or not true? That's what we have to deal with, not character association, which is the program from television to make you believe who is virtuous and who is an enemy to you. This is all about heroes and villains, and it's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Because if you're listening to God talking through the divine and everyone, it's who's answering the door. That's you. And you, with your own intuition and knowledge, are able to pick apart what the truths are. It is also what you said. It has nothing to do with going out and trying to convince everybody and everybody being on the same page. Because let me just tell you right now, that's on the table. Cults are on the table in a major way, from Satanism to New Age to political parties and everything in between. All of those people out there that are trying to go out there and look for a mechanical answer and beliefs that have to be like this and very rigid and steps. I am even telling you, people like Jordan Peterson are mind controlled slaves, and he doesn't. This is the thing about mind control. I want to get in. We'll get into this more, but so this is not an attack on Jordan Peterson, because I used Jordan Peterson's knowledge in 2018 to begin to wake up. So I give him a lot of credit for his life and the life that he's lived and the research and the study that he's done and the rigorous things and the things that he's had to confront with himself. But here's the fatal flaw, and all of us have this. Jordan Peterson is a human being, and it's very difficult to be a human being. More so today than probably ever before, it's difficult to be a human being, just to live and get through the day and try to understand and make sense of what you can in the world that you can. And so what everybody's doing is they're going back to what they know. Well, Jordan Peterson in his life studied communism. He studied Nazism, but he studied communism. He studied theology, among many other things, and psychology. And so his life work is all of these things in theory of the past. Now that past is here and it's at his doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
And he can only see where he is in opposition to the falsehood. He leaves open the potential that there's things he doesn't know and that he could be wrong. But ultimately, everybody in the world is coming at Jordan Peterson saying, you're a genius. You're an amazing man. You're a man who was prophetic. And all of that is true. But really, Jordan Peterson could put all of that down tomorrow and say, you know what? I also saw the results of a dualistic system where one side goes up against another and co-creates a falsehood of reality where there is triangulation of child abuse,
mm-hmm.
where one side sees themselves as good and the other side sees themselves as good in opposition to the enemy. It's Spider-Man and Spider-Man pointing out Spider-Man.
It's so true.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
But that would require a certain level of, and let me be clear about this. I am not comparing myself to that man or anybody else, but I will tell you from 2019 to now, and you've had me on your show, I'm just now starting to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Oh, yeah.
This is the journey within, when you are talking about unraveling your own contradictions, you may have to start out in the world. This is all like mythology. This goes back to Joseph Campbell, where you're a child. He gives you one of the mythologies is this. You're a child and you're a camel with two humps. And they load you up with a huge sack on your back. And that's your burden to carry out into the world. And then the camel becomes the lion. Mm-hmm. And the lion is the adult. And the adult takes on the dragon, which is the world. And the dragon has all these scales that are true, false, thou shalt not and thou shalt, right? And you have to go through all of the different doors or scales, if you will, of life. And he says, what happens is when you finally get through all of that, you return to the child. The child is the creator. The child is born timeless. It is divine. It is before the world of knowledge comes in. And what these monsters have done to us, but we have allowed. So this is where we have to look at where we co-create and where we're responsible, not for them, but from our own misbegotten moments in our lives, is to return to the imagination and the creation of the divine within each and every single one of us, which is what we were born into this world as, but was taken away from us. Some people are going to seek revenge for that on a very deep and violent level.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be others who will use that darkness to enlighten themselves in such a way that they go closer to Creator. And this is where Creator is not a place of fear. It's not a place of despair. It's a place of truth that exists in you. And it's a space that you create in your heart. And the only way that you can do that is to begin to see yourself as everybody else out there, as hard as that is, because mm-hmm. we have appearances of differences, we have judgments and we have attachments and we have a resistance, and we see that purple hair or that blue hair, and we see that mask and we go, damn it. Stop, you stupid idiot. Well, guess what? Who gave you that opinion? The media did.
Mm-hmm.
Who gave you all of these problems to debate and think about in your mind? The media did. The Hollywood media industrial complex
mm-hmm.
gave you positions on everything that have left you with nothing. And I don't for a minute believe that they are not going to try more distractions, because here's the bottom line. This is all coming. This is all going to lead to Balenciaga, but the fraud, the lies, everything, the lies become the truth, right? We could go through Orwell all night and Huxley. It doesn't matter. What it is they're baking this into the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Or a future timeline. They needed this to happen. Trump going up against them was a man with a match striking an immutable surface of psychopathic energy. And COVID-19 was the exclamation point with the fear of death, which I will tell you, they know this so well at such a deep, deep level. Every single one of us who came from our mothers and fathers who was also programmed through a world of inversion that they were unaware of and came from two world wars and a Great Depression with PTSD. Okay. That trauma that we all grew up with, which we have forgotten, caused us in our bodies to feel as though it was dying when we were children. The fear of the neglect, the moments, and really what this goes to at the core of narcissism is ignorance. Ignorance is to ignore, the root word, but it is ignorance, not willfully, but you couldn't know, Zach, what your mom didn't know and mm-hmm. didn't have from her mother and father, if she was lucky enough to have them. They have assaulted our families to break us apart so that we don't even know what it's like to have a mom and dad who love us, who aren't imagining a world where I am supposed to be a man, an alpha male, who's supposed to have a hot wife who's basically pornified. Pornification of women and the pornification of men on a materialistic level of a hypersexualized materialist and ultimately violent and destructive society mm-hmm. is what is producing all of these children who we see worshiping Satan, mm-hmm. who we see becoming violent, who we see becoming psychopathic. It is a mind virus that is spread all Absolutely. Through society. And it is the inversion of the divine. We are the real value. They are the illusion. And the only way that we get through this is to see that the inversion of truth is not where we stake our opposition to. We go higher. The matrix is divine. It's an ancient order. It's been here all along. It's Christ. It's God. It's source. It's whatever word you want to place upon it, whatever your understandings are. This isn't about trying to get everybody in agreement with each other, because each one of us, this is what I believe, because I looked at my life and where I was in Hollywood, in those 19 years that I spent out there, I was in a dark world. I was in the dark night of my soul almost every day. And I wasn't fueled by drug rage and all this other stuff, but what I was in is I was in my childhood again as an adult, unaware. And as I became aware, what I realized, and this is true of even the Satanist as well, they too are born divine into mm-hmm. this world. And the reason why Satanism is a logical conclusion for them is because that is the emotional reality of the lack of love that they were given as children. And they have gone and recreated that entire, no different than all. Why are we in this problem? Because we have made the entire world our mother and father mm-hmm. authority to make decisions for us, personified, exaggerated, gone beyond ourselves. To say, if so-and-so is present, then I feel all is right in the world. If so-and-so says this, if so-and-so loses this, then all is right in the world. And let me just say this, we call it wokeism, but really what cancel culture ultimately does on all sides of the authoritarian wheel is it reinforces the status quo. Mm-hmm. It reinforces a corporatism, which is where they're going to move everything into the brands, into the institutions, and all the things that that give us, quote, a relief to have somebody out there who hears us mm-hmm. and is going to do right by you. And believe me, we're going to see a segment of the population, a large segment at first, going right into this in desperation. From where they are today, it is up to each and every single one of us tonight to make a commitment to ourselves to become the most authentic and truthful human being that we know in the world. And the only way that you get there is through the deepest humility and you don't have to prove that to any damn person out there. Mm-hmm. You are only proving it to yourself and with your creator. That's it.
Amen.
And the rest will be. You have to be the very thing that defies all beliefs. I have a neighbor over here and others who buy into all this wokeism. I've gone over, you know, across the way in the other city, in the neighboring city, it's totally progressive. They still have BLM signs up and all this. And I had to come to the understanding that it's like they don't see and know what you and I know.
Mm-hmm.
Their perception of reality is the compassion and the meaning that they put into that movement. You can say, well, in the face of facts and others, like, yeah, but what facts are we talking about? Their set of facts, your set of facts.
Yes.
This is where I get into this debate with people. We're not really debate. I'm like, I'm done arguing with you. If you think this is all about choices, well, mm-hmm. they choose to be ignorant. Yeah, they're frightened just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared shitless that they could be wrong. What if you were wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What if you were wrong about everything that you believed and it was shown to you that no, you're not going to accept that? They're asking you for a peer-reviewed study, and if you send it to them and you say, you know, they'll find some arbitrary. This is not the time for argument and debate. This is about going outside and breaking the fucking Overton window
mm-hmm.
and saying, we need a foundation of truth, man.
Yeah.
It comes from within here. Your creativity, your ideas, they took all of that away. Your right hemisphere of your brain. If anything, what we should look at in terms of indoctrination is the last 4 to 7 years has been a deluge of information that has been about information, facts, stories, data, names, places, times, all this changes here, voting this here. It's all analytical. It's all left hemisphere. It doesn't give you the anomaly in the system. It doesn't give you the creativity. Which our education system from day one, no matter whether you went into public or private or charter or anything else, blended all of that together and anchored it down here so that you would believe in the orthodoxy of the appearance of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very hard because you can't unlearn everything that you've learned overnight.
Yeah.
It's an emotional breakup. It's a marriage that you have to like divorce yourself from. And it may be a very lonely place yeah. at first.
When you destroy someone's worldview, when they have to go through that process, I've said this so many times, you know, this is why I am always asking you guys to be kind to each other on social media, because nobody perceives themselves as the bad guy. Nobody looks in the mirror and, you know, it's like that. There's this sketch, from I can't remember the name of the show, but it's from England. And, it's these guys and they're Nazis. Okay. They're wearing, you know, SS uniforms. And one of them looks at the other one and says, you know, hey, Hans, are we the bad guys? You know, I mean, it's like nobody is sitting there, you know, in their worldview and believes that they're doing something wrong. They believe that they are acting from a place right. of virtue. They believe that they're correct. And every single one of us is a victim of multi-generational trauma-based mind control. So yes. in order to get out of that, that is a tremendous process. And I always invite every single person here to remember that process that they went through, first of all, to get to where you are today. You know, I mean, every single one of you looked around at the lies you were told and had to realize at some point, like, oh my God, you know, it is all bullshit. Everything that I've been taught is total bullshit. And mm-hmm. it's still a process. It's an ongoing process because it's like bubbles within bubbles within bubbles. And every time you think you've gotten to the bottom of it, you realize that there's something else.
Yes. Oh, no. It's 100%. I mean, look, I've had people and, you know, anybody who followed me on Twitter will know that I have my days where I'm just like, damn it. Yeah. You know, I get into it. I've gotten into it with people sure. sometimes and like, holy cow. This is a sad reality in a sense. And granted, I don't know if these are bots or whatever, but it doesn't matter. The idea that this is, you know, when I said to somebody, you are born divine and this transgender agenda is funded by the Epstein establishment, its allies, and I cited the sources.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, the person said, number one, your first point about you being born divine is delusional.
Right, right. Because they're an atheist. They don't believe right. in anything.
And then, the other one is just some weird, you know, delusion that you have. And then I had another person, I said, you know what? I just restated what I believed. And then another person chimed in and said, why are you people always so batshit crazy? Mm-hmm. And I had to look at it and go, there's a reason why a person would feel that and feel that as a threat to them. This is what I said. I probably said it on here before. I don't go back and do talking points or try to watch my, you know, interviews, you know, to remember them. But I said to people, I said, look, if you look at a woman who, whether it's one abortion, and this is not about whether they've had an abortion or not, because it's, we don't even discuss the nuance of miscarriages and real health risks to the mother. It's all been politicized to move that needle to, you know, third trimester and after.
Right.
That's apparent now. So it has nothing to do with the life of the mother. But when you consider why a woman or even a man would only see the life growing inside of them as not a miracle, as just a clump of cells, and that it's not something precious, magnificent, and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not because they adopted an ideology because Miley Cyrus put on her Instagram a cake that said abortion is healthcare and said, oh yeah, that's right. Cause I like Miley Cyrus and she must be right about that. And I like cake too. That's because that young woman was never loved in the real way by a mother and father if she was lucky to have both.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that that young woman also, or older, will tell you and argue with you, you know, just like a, and again, I'm not attacking women this way. I'm just saying a porn star, and these are people I knew, porn star, an exotic dancer, a person who is trafficked even, they will believe that their parents loved them and did right by them. Very few. Sometimes you'll get some honest ones in there. I do believe, I mean, I've seen that in acknowledgments, but to attack somebody on how they feel after you witnessed all of this crap with COVID is out of your, it's insane. You can't change somebody's mind with facts and feelings are where our beliefs are tied to, as however limiting they are. If you want to take the approach, like I think you do and I do, at least in our attempts, is to look at this the way Christ did with the people.
Mm-hmm.
He went to them and met them where they were at.
Yep.
He didn't try to argue the world with them. He showed them there was something outside of this place, and he showed them the truth by being that thing.
Yes.
And that's his message to all of us 2,000 years later. However you want to believe the story, I'm not against the story. I'm just saying take the meaning out of that story and say, is this a story that was 2,000 years ago, or is it a story that is going on right now? Because I will tell you, if everybody that I've met in my day, from Ronald Bernard to Annika Lucas to Jay Parker and everyone in between and all the SRA survivors, they know this place is biblical. They know that this realm is governed by a biblical law. And when we start seeing the face of Satan come online and the world of the false self being enlightened with a false light movement, this is where Christians, and I don't mean this just in religious sense, but those who identify with a relationship with the creator of heaven and earth and through his son or daughter, or however you want to see it, masculine, feminine, divine, it's bigger than a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than one man. And they're waging, and here's their wager. They think that by pushing the needle down on all of us and pushing us down that they can then flip the script and have you jump right back in. And they know they're not going to get everybody, but they need to anchor all of this stuff. The reason why all of this election crap goes on and the narratives of, you know, liberal voters tend to vote early, and that's just to obfuscate. But what it does is it conditions the mind to believe where they're living, like in California and LA, it's a collective consciousness with a psychopathic energy that is permeating through all of it. It's anti-human, it's anti-God, and it's anti-child. This is the AI program that you're going to see Mr. Musk bringing out with Neuralink and all of these other fancy things that he's got for us. I'm just telling you, polarization of players where one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, and another man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. And the truth of the matter is we have to stop playing this game. This is a mind game that's being waged on. It's a conscious mind game. And if we wake up, when we do, and it's not when that moment that we all see comes, it will be the moment that we don't see coming, but it's the one that's felt in the heart. This right here inside of you is the kingdom. It's a quantum computing machine. It's got, it can change time. It's got 40 to 30,000 brain cells here. And when you get 0.01 coherence between the mind, you are literally in a timeless state that shifts reality around you. And they're trying. And if you look at it, just think about it from a child who knows nothing of this world, has no trauma when they're first born, to your adult self today, them giving you what? They're reactivating your traumas from the past to stop you from remembering who you are. Mm-hmm. And what they want is for future threats to keep you out of the present moment, because the present moment is where you exist. And the more people that live in the present moment, the less power they have. They are dying on a vine and they know this. This is why they have to enslave everyone. This is the final story for them, not the Biden administration. But I'm saying from Trump to Biden and whatever is going to come after this is not about debates or figuring it all out where the world needs to go. Those people are going to take it. But if we don't consent to any of it and we say, you know what? I don't consent to this. You're going to have to come at my door and take me, right? Because I know who my creator is, and you are not the authority over me, over my dead body. Your parents, you know, when you talk about parents and your children, your parents die for their kids. That's what love is. It's self-sacrifice. It's not being a martyr. It's not championing all of this. It's those acts that are not of this world. They're not of arguments of this world, but they're universally true. And you can't prove them to anybody, but you can show them to people mm-hmm. by living them. And when you live in that moment, it's not just about your own manifesting. It's what you are doing. You are raising the vibrational energies of all the people who've been pushed down for so very long. And you are letting them know without saying a word that somebody still cares and loves them in a world that does not. That's how Christ overcame the world mm-hmm. on multiple dimensions, because he went, and I will tell this to anybody here listening tonight, all you MAGA people, and I'm not calling you out, but when all is said and done, I'll be with the left. I'll be by their side, because they are the ones who are getting pummeled and are going to be the sacrificial lamb in this time, more so than the right wingers. And I'm not pointing people to being right wing, but the right wing is the one that lives on from here. The left wing is the one that's going to go into the cults, the satanic cults, the new age cults, and the woke progressive, all of that. That's where all that is going. It can't be stopped. But this is the point. If you really, truly love humanity and you give a damn even with people who would never give a damn to you.
Mm-hmm.
Make this a safe world for all children by loving your inner child and healing that and going on that journey day at a time. Dude, you know, I don't go around telling my story because my story is crazy, first of all. And my story though is not anywhere more unique than anybody else who's ever overcome anything in their life. It's just that I did so, or let me say this. I believe this wholeheartedly. On a soul level, I came in here knowing certain things like all of us do.
Mm-hmm.
It's remembering who you are, that the soul is trying to wake up. Even in Satanists, they're trying to awaken the psychopath. And I'm telling you this because I've had firsthand experience with this, where on a soul level, it scares the hell out of them. They're frightened. They're terrified. Their child is locked up in an atomic bunker. This is not for you to go, oh, I should see it. No, everybody has to be accountable for what they do here.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But if we think we're going to kill our way out of this, if we think that if we just round up all the bastards and hang them, which may be given to us, I don't know. Let me just tell you how this works, okay? Years ago, Osama bin Laden was supposedly killed by Obama. And I was in LA and I was in Venice, the city of Venice, south of Santa Monica. There were people in the streets cheering
mm-hmm.
over a fictionalized character that had nothing to do with 9/11 sure. other than our intelligence agency. But that's what I'm saying is that's how easy people can be manipulated, and they know this. And all this is that we're in an old program that keeps reboots, remakes, prequels, and sequels, as evidenced by Hollywood. But it's personified in reality. And what they do is they change the players out to make the illusion look as though it's different.
It's fresh.
It's fresh.
It's just a reboot. It's just another damn reboot. Okay. Listen, we are about to bring in some callers from the audience, and maybe we can talk about Balenciaga once we get some people on the phone. Yeah. But I need to do a couple of thank yous from the super chats over on Rumble. Somebody had asked if I see those. You guys, I am doing my best to pay attention to the guest, also to run the production on the back end, and then check the chats over on Getter, Foxhole, Rumble, Odyssey. And so rest assured, I see as much as I can, but I always try to grab the super chats, because when you donate to the show, obviously I must recognize you, because it is few and far between, and I know that most people are not in a position to do it. So Trisha Q Patriot Texas, starting it off, said, so glad to see you again, John Paul. God bless you and the family, Zach. Thank you so much, Trisha. And I believe, Trisha, you are the first caller on the line too. Freight Awakening, thank you so much for your continued support. He says, great show, guys. John, do you think anything substantial will come from the Twitter files release? Any accountability? Also, would love your thoughts on Elon. Good guy, bad guy, is Elon
Is okay. Elon is what?
Elon Corn Pop. Remember, Corn Pop was a bad dude? Joe Biden. Okay. let me get your thoughts on that in just a second, because Salty Zero also said, John Paul Rice, you did an interview with Zach about a year ago that was fantastic. I passed it on to many people. I'm glad I caught this one live to tell you and thank you. I would say every single time John is on the show, it is, it's a showstopper. It's one to remember. And you can get to all of those past archives by going to my Rumble channel and scrolling to the very beginning. Okay. So thoughts on Elon. You had mentioned something earlier. You made mention of it, and then you mentioned, these possibilities for the AI and Neuralink. You know, mm-hmm. I tend to see this as shades of gray. You know, I mean, it's not mm-hmm. as simple as, you know, good guy, bad guy.
Right.
And something like Neuralink could be a tool that could be used to produce tremendous good. You know, giving people brain function back that they mm-hmm. had lost from a TBI or from, you know, there are people out there mm-hmm. walking around bullets in their heads that are just not the same.
Right.
Or people who are quadriplegics, paraplegics.
Correct.
You know, it has the potential to do some incredible stuff. But then on the other side of the coin, it does have the potential to enslave us and do some really tremendous harm. You know, I mean, I don't mm-hmm. want to be connected to, you know, another system that could potentially control the way that I think or stop me from doing certain actions because it's been deemed, you know, I don't know, bad or whatever in some fashion. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so overall, you know, what do you think about Elon Musk and this stuff with Twitter? I do want to say, I love what's happening with Twitter right now. This is a tremendous exposure and disclosure, and it's only the beginning, you know? So what's next?
Okay, so I will start with saying that everybody needs to go to YouTube, not the second, but look
up
Bill.
After the show.
Yeah, after the show, and I'll send a link to you if you want to put it out there. But if you go on there and look up Bill Burr talking about chips, this is in 2010, and it's a very, like, a 2-3 minute clip, but that is something that I believe is true as far as best intentions, opening Pandora's box with unconscious men. Let me go back to this for a second. The people at Google and the whistleblower that came out months ago who talked about
He was in love with the AI or whatever.
Right. And so what we're talking about is men who, and I'm not just, it's not about men. It's just the majority of them are they don't know where they are. They don't know the world that they're really living in.
Mm-hmm.
And in the structure that they've come up in, they've been successful. There's nothing that tells them they're wrong. Okay. Now they can be in opposition to certain people, but what that guy was trying to say is that, look, the top people at Google, where he went to them and told them what they're about to do, like what the danger of how it could go wrong. They don't see that. And yet at the same time, he said also they're not in control of it anymore. This is where we're talking about a borderless corporate state, a one world order that kind of governs us through technology. That's really the Antichrist system. All right. Now, Elon Musk, I don't know him from anyone. He comes from those families in those circles, much like Trump. And again, in that world, we think they're like us, that they're the way they think, the way they understand things, the way they see the world. No, they would be the first one to tell you, you don't know how the world really works.
Right.
Right. Okay. So with that being said, he could be a hero in opposition to the falsehood and the lies of this particular group of managers. But as this new management comes in to take over, and not just with Twitter, but other institutions as well, they're going to respond to the past, which is man's law. And when I say that, it is a watershed moment, if you will, of disclosure and to have confirmation of what we already knew.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not driving that ship. We are getting a buy-in on, wow, these JSs over here were really bad, and this guy over here is liberating us. And that could all be true, but he still has relationships with the DOD and others where he's going to give that. So the transhumanist agenda is, and what I'm saying this is that, again, the layers of this are, I believe, like Trump and even Biden, as crazy as it sounds, they're true believers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they don't know the whole picture of what's going on, and how they're being influenced and what's being done to them, both at a spiritual level and a psychological level. Every single person out there, and every single person you see out on the world stage has a psychological profile.
Mm-hmm.
you and I have a psychological profile. We've been watched and listened to for over 20 years online, and they've got dossiers and everything. So if they want to pinpoint you and target you for something, guess what? The new world that they're going to bring in doesn't have to go after you like these jackasses do to censor you. They can silently prevent you from getting in. Like, for example, for me, there's no effing way I'm ever going to be allowed back into the corporate state, let alone do I want to be in there. No. Because my name is all over the place, and anybody with two cents who's going to go, okay, let's filter out, let's run these lists against, you know, all of our candidates, I won't even get my let alone an interview. I won't even get my resume looked at. It'll be flagged.
Yeah, I'm screwed too.
Right. So, but that in itself is freeing, but it's a reality, mm-hmm. right? So where we're moving into this AI where, okay, the con in AI, let me explain this in Neuralink too, is in order for a population to accept that this is the way forward in technology, like you just said, where we have to adapt and fuse with our biology into, and I'm not being cute here, but like a Darth Vader in steps, sure. right? Mm-hmm. Okay. The goal of the Luciferians is to enslave us and to take us away from the divine creation and make us a mechanized, non-sentient being. Mm-hmm. That is clear as day. So he is a useful tool, in my view, of the overall picture to bring that about, where the appetite for freedom and liberty and free speech is there, but it'll only be granted for so long. Because at the end of the day, whether he knows it or not, whether Trump knows it or not, whether any of these people know it or not, they are useful until they are no longer useful.
So Musk may be a useful idiot, not even know what he's about to unleash on the world.
And he's intelligent.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he is intelligent. And look, I mean, I'm not saying you can't just fictionally make somebody like him, even though he's had a lot of issues. You don't come up in that world just because of corruption alone. Mm-hmm. There's merit to your work. And if you have a certain group of psychopaths over here on, let's just say, authoritarians, who are heavily invested in secrecy and all of this and actually seeing you as an enemy and your rights as a speak. Well, it's like, well, then what are your other choices? It's like, well, I have this other guy over here. Now, this is the thing where I ask people to go do their research, go to CoreysDigs.com. You know this, and I cite her, and Whitney Webb too. She's come a long way since her earlier progressive days, mm-hmm. after seeing this medical tyranny and what she went through with her own children in Chile. But those two people are probably some of the greatest investigative journalists, because they put together the agendas, they name names, they put the institutions in there and the monies, and basically, Musk's vision for humanity is this AI transhumanist collective agenda, but it's not evil. You see, mm-hmm. he's an unconscious person who doesn't realize what he can potentially enable. So let me put it another way. If you look at Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, and Greg Braden's work, and specifically Joe Dispenza, and I'm not talking about him as a character because I don't know him as a person, but the information that he's talking about, people have been able to heal their bodies through mind, heart meditations and quantum level healing, spinal column injuries, cancers. Now, it's not just simply going out there and meditating every day and doing breathing exercises, but what we're talking about is, are you the real biological intelligence, or is technology, which appears on think about it, a population that's been suppressed and depressed and pushed down and made cynical to believe that humanity needs an answer in this time as a precondition to open the door to those technologies versus you see what I mean?
I 100% am picking up what you're laying down. Okay. So yes, I can totally see that. I mean, I think what
a guy with good intentions who may be very misled.
Right. And it's a slippery slope. You know, you open that door and what comes next and at what cost? You know, is Elon Musk going to give away this Neuralink technology? You know, once people have it embedded in them, what are the capabilities that exist thereafter? You know, there was an interesting movie that came out, and I swear, guys, we're going to open the phone lines here in just a second. two people have hung up. I would request that you call back in, but it was called Repo Men. And it was about, and you know, there's the one with Emilio Estevez from years ago. That's a good one. But this one is about people in the future, who require, artificial organs that are so expensive, they're cost prohibitive, but they will allow you to get them as long as you get on a payment plan. Well, if you suddenly can no longer afford the payments, they're not just going to allow you to continue to live with that organ that's that is owned by this corporate entity. I mean, they come and they forcibly take it from you. And then once your liver is gone or once your artificial kidneys are gone, you just end up, you know, bleeding out on the side of the road. And the repo man takes that possession back by the corporation that owns it. It's like they come and repossess your car. Okay, so before we let Trisha in, Nana Knows says Elon, Trump, and Ye are just trolling at a higher level than we usually troll at. Could be. Low Country Brooklyn agrees with her, says 100. And then Fredo says, is Ye off his rocker, or is he trying to put certain topics on the table for discussion? Have seen a lot of black youth questioning things on social media. Could Ye be corn pop at the plus sign up Rumble? You know, I mean, that's a possibility as well. I think that, there is value in, some of the subjects that Ye is bringing up. And, you know, I mean, what we were talking about earlier with, you know, history being a lie. You know, it is, but I also think that there's some self-defeating behavior that's happening there, which is going to cause, you know, a large portion of the population to just completely shut down and say, okay, you know, he went too far.
Yeah. Write him off. Well, the anti-Semitism and all that there. I mean, that you can't argue that.
No, it's just, it's too easy. It's too easy for people to now just dismiss everything that Kanye has said because of a couple of choice words. I mean, you don't go on a live stream and say, I love Hitler. I mean, don't clip that, please. You know, but I mean, that's just something you don't do. Okay. Trish is on the phone. Trisha, thank you for calling in. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. So good to hear from you.
I just don't know where to start. John Paul, you just gave, I mean, you touched on so many things, but the thing that really, really hit me at first, was when you talked about the PTSD, our parents and the PTSD that they projected. I can't remember the profound words you used, but I just have to say, I'm 72. And my mother and dad were both born in 1916. So they went through World War II. Okay. My dad died when I was 5. My sister was 3 and my baby sister was 6 months old when he died. And my mother married a friend a year later who was, well, he had mental issues and I mean, so that played a big part in how I was raised. But I want to say my mother, who went through the war, she was in the Army Nurse Corps, being raised with her, everything was, we had a rigidly strict household, very religious, it was a good kind of religious. I mean, we believed in a relationship with Jesus. I realize that now, but back then it just seemed like way too strict. So I had a very traumatic upbringing. I feel like I really didn't understand myself until the past couple of years. And what happened to me was I started really getting into learning what Jesus, the relationship I had with Jesus, how important that was. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Zadi and Andrew Womack helped me in both ways. Kevin Zadi's book, The Power, The Mystery of the Power Words. As my sister was reading that book to me, I was instantly healed of several different things, that have happened to my body. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, I had a cat on me who just jumped off and hurt me as he was doing it. So, it's just some of the things that you said, that PTSD, I lived with that my whole life. And yeah. I have grandchildren and great grandchildren now. And I've said this before on like Neo's show, that I tell my kid, my grandkids things, and I go, don't tell your parents I said that. Because they say, don't tell them so much, but I want them to see what's going on in this world, but I want them to see it from a biblical viewpoint. Yeah. You know, this is how these things that are happening, that you don't even, you can't even see the spiritual side of it, the supernatural side of it. And I'm trying to explain it to you in a way that, is not meant to scare you, but to make you open to, these are the things that could happen, and people can be telling you things because they are on the internet all the time. And, you know, I just say, anyway, I'm talking way too much. So tell me what you think about what I just said.
I think it's beautiful, and I think you're a beautiful human being, and you do it with the intention of love. And that's really where it hits people. It's not so much what you say. It's what you feel when you say what you say. Yeah. And we're creatures of enormous divinity, energy, vibration, and frequency. And so like when people, I mean, look, I don't know how, well, I know how I came to be who I am. But as I said, I don't think it was me that did this. And I will tell you one thing, Tricia, and I don't know how to express it in the way that I can encapsulate it in a total, but you're sending them love letters for the future. You're giving them love letters that they'll recall and remember. Our memories are the one thing that we have that they want access to, and they don't understand where it comes from, that we recall and remember things that are divine. And why we do is because we are divine and we're connected to that. Whereas in their heart, and I'm talking about the dark forces, they're cut off from the heart feeling, the quantum field of the Holy Spirit. So what you are doing for them is in your own way, is in your own time and space, as awkward as sometimes it may be, it's those intentions which you're not there to program them, but to offer them something that's different. And planting those seeds early on, every act of love that you give a child is like a deposit of gold in the bank for their future. So everything that you can impart to them with the time that you have, with the knowledge and the wisdom, is to take that and deliver it in the form of care. Mark Passio talks about this. He was a former occultist. He's now a de-occultist. And he says the number one thing that you can do is acts of love given in the form of care to others. And it is like magic. This is a time of magic that's returning in different ways. But you already understand the supernatural aspects and the spiritual aspects of this place. I do as well. And I don't go down trying to convince people of that, but I do know that we are the soul embodiment of the Creator in the human form. Yes. And we have a temporal amount of time here, and we will have to let it go at a certain point. And there's beauty in that too. But we're in a sense, we're giving of ourselves. We're giving it away so that the future generations that will continue here after we're long gone will be the carriers of that message. And so I think that's a really beautiful thing that you do.
Well, I'm learning how to do it in a more peaceful and joyful and loving way than I did before, because things have really changed. Learning that our words are so important that we can't spit out the negative anymore. We've got to spit out God's truth and positive to change the ones around us or to help the ones around us. I mean, I just feel totally different. I was driving home tonight feeling, I was seeing everything in a different light. The same road I take all the time, I was just seeing new things. I felt such joy and peace, and I'm so excited. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you, I just had to remark on that PTSD thing, and I wish I would have known about that 30 years ago, 40 years ago. My kids are in their 40s now, so I mean, I wish I'd have known it when I was becoming a parent. And I, you know, so just the fact that you're talking about it now, there are more young people in Red Pill's audience, I'm sure, or maybe not. I don't know what the age range is. And
I
don't even know if we can,
I said me either. I don't get analytics on Rumble.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a shame right there. But anyway, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I would love to talk to you one-on-one sometime, John Paul, because there's so much that I really want to say, but I know he has other callers. It's already 9:30 or 10:30 your time. So gosh, I love you both.
Love you too, Tricia.
Take care, and I'll keep listening. Okay. I'm going to listen to this show again because you really laid out a lot there, and you're going to have to come back again real soon, John Paul.
Okay.
You're not done yet.
All right. Jack's good got night. It.
All right. Have a great night, Tricia. Thanks for your call. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tricia.
Salty Zero also said, if we learned anything from Ye, it's to never date a Kardashian. And I think with that, before we bring in our next caller, we should open the floor to the discussion about Balenciaga. Because, you know, I as disturbing as this is, I see it as a good thing because they have fully exposed themselves. And the people, I mean, they caught on to it immediately. I mean, you know, for so many years, John, we have been subjected to these, this subliminal messaging and this, you know, informed consent about Satanism and what they're doing with children. You know, they've been telling us. They've been telling us. They've been putting it in our faces, and they've been gaslighting us when we have seen it. Well, this time it didn't work. And it's very, very obvious what was happening. You know, initially in the wake of it, they pulled the ad, and then they announced a $25 million lawsuit against, this photographer that put it together. Well, they've actually dropped the lawsuit because I think it was pretty obvious that they must have known what was taking place. It's not like this guy just, you know, photographed this stuff with kids and threw the child pornography Supreme Court case in there and then put it out there to the world and nobody at Balenciaga saw it. You know, the one thing that I haven't seen is real outcry from people with power. You know, and just, you know, as an example, I've got this article here from Vogue. You know, they're asking, you know, has the Balenciaga controversy gone too far? And they admit, you know, the what happened was reprehensible. It's disgusting. But then they immediately bring it back to this idea of, you know, satanic pedophiles ruling the world. And that's just crazy. And so why are we even talking about this anymore? You know, out of one side of your mouth, out of the other side of your mouth, you know, but here's the thing. It's true. Okay. You know, I mean, like I actually wanted to play that video that you had sent over earlier. Before we bring anybody in, because this is the only time that I have seen anybody really making a stink, about what happened. You know, I mean, like the truth of the matter is, you know, child pornography, abuse of children cannot be tolerated in any sense. And these sick bastards have been hard at work in trying to seed this into the public's consciousness, to make it okay.
To normalize it.
Yes, to normalize it. So when we see a five-year-old girl holding on to a teddy bear in bondage gear, then we're not going to think twice about it because, oh, no, it's art. You know, it's Balenciaga. You know, I mean, that's just, you know, they're just being edgy. But that's not what's happening. They are actually abusing children in this manner. So let's take a listen to this video real quick.
Where's the outrage? I'm going to go off for a minute here because is the outrage? It's been a week and a half. And now we're doing this story. I get it. Thanksgiving was happening and all that. But they tried to hide behind that, right? Maybe this will make it through the news cycle. No, it's not. Okay? Adidas didn't cut ties 48 hours after Kanye did his whole thing, right? And they got lambasted for not speaking out against anti-Semitism. This is a week and a half and nobody seems to care that there's little kids involved in this. I can't speak what it's like to be a black man, right? I can't speak what it's like to be a Jewish woman, but I can speak what it's like to be a father of two young boys. And that this type of behavior, when I worked at CBS.com out of a little closet my first show, I was like, I'm going to say this and wear a blue shirt. I got 49 emails saying, maybe wear a purple shirt and maybe don't say this here. Don't tell me this slipped through the cracks right. when you're getting a court case that features child pornography. It's disgusting. It's disturbing. Jeopardy's got to flip their whole production because of one person said something, but they wanted to be woke and do all that. How many other examples are there? 10, 20, 30, 40 years we're going back to cancel people? But this slips through the cracks? It's outrageous. And that people aren't outraged and skipping work with their posters and going to the courthouse or going to Balenciaga and stars aren't wiping their Instagram and social media with all their Balenciaga gear is disgusting in itself. Don't you tell me, Hollywood, how to live my life or you want me canceled or because you produce something. You're going to go around because Balenciaga pays you $1 million, $2 million, $5 million? Kim Kardashian, shame on you. You're a billionaire. You don't need this company. They need you. And for you to take a week and a half to come to a conclusion, shame on you.
Absolutely. You know, he was so right on. And it's really good to see somebody with a platform like he is on a mainstream, kind of network, and suggesting that people should be more outraged because he's mm-hmm. right. You know, mm-hmm. Kanye West says something about Zionism and the entire mm-hmm. world just sets ablaze. You know, every single one of his corporate sponsorships drops him, but Balenciaga produces some trash like this, where, you know, who knows what happened to those kids? You know, I mean, like, we don't know that they were specifically abused, but now they're part of this, you know, forever saga, and they're mm-hmm. going to be traumatized when they're adults because somebody's going to recognize that, oh, you're that kid from that Balenciaga ad, you know? And I mean, like, what about their parents? You know, what have their parents had them involved with up until this point?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I'd like your thoughts, and then I'm going to be bringing Uncensored Abe in at the same time. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, there's not much I can add to that anymore that has been said. What I will tell people is that the Kering Group, which owns multiple brands, including Balenciaga, is also owned by Artemis, and they're partners with the WEF and Davos. And this goes into our political system and our Wall Street banking institutions and the Hollywood media industrial complex, which also includes the news. Mm-hmm. That's why they're silent on it, because they're trying to make it go away and pretend it didn't happen. And the way that they cover it is just like they did with Pizzagate.
Mm-hmm.
They want you. So New York Times. Okay. And I'm not holding up the New York Times as anything, at this point, other than just a propaganda outfit for cover stories. They said when fashion and QAnon meet, that was one of their headlines, something like this.
Oh, wow.
And they covered it. I read the article, and like you said, that they had to acknowledge these things, but that it's gone too far now, and that they, so when I tell people, like, you know, they're like, what are you talking about? You know, Pizzagate was okay. The cover story that they give you is very selective on the details, which make it real. And then the omission is this 80% over here. And if you look at the 80%, totally change the context of everything they're trying to tell you to think and feel about this as though it's a neutral thing. They got caught. This was not, some people think this is a plant. No, they got caught because they didn't think that anybody would notice and pay attention. That's how yep. arrogant they are.
Well, and that's what's happened up until this point. You know, right. I mean, how much has slipped through the cracks? But, you know, in the last couple of years, Anons have been on it.
Right. And so this is now where it gets. So here's what I'm trying to tell people is, like, there's their plans and then there's the divine's plans, and the divine timing and things is ahead of their timing, because they have to create all of this time for us and psychological events to get us here in order to turn on all their other programs. COVID being the precondition to transform the world, right? They wouldn't be able to give you a vaccination ID under normal circumstances unless there was the threat that they could offer you. This is all about threats. Okay. So Balenciaga, and this is not about their brand or anything else, but the people who make up the fashion industry, the glamour industry, the beauty industry, it's all one big cult. And this is the thing, like, what they do to deflect the attention away from culpability is they sued that reporter to get the story out there to have a villain in the story, right? Mm-hmm. And then you read New York Times and it says, well, you know, Balenciaga said that they had a production team and that they, that child pornography case, the Supreme Court was taken from a set of movie props and it just happened to land right there.
Right in the middle of the table.
Oh, Jesus. You know, it's just like, and what this guy said in the video, he said, you know, there are teams of people
mm-hmm.
that go through this, the fine tooth comb. This is their product. They're worth $1.87 billion roughly. There is no way they're haphazardly letting a individual control the entire photo shoot and then have it approved through the layers. So what we're talking about is the world of Satan coming online.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's a subconscious mind program because in this time that we're living in, when everything has been shaken up, everybody is going into their own beliefs. They're going within, and some people retreat to their own view of things where you can literally hold up to them the facts and the truth and they see something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is why it's important to call it out, but understand that where that guy, that I forgot his name, made the mistake is that to call shame on these people, which is the, okay, it's an understandable place of emotion, but these people have no shame.
No.
And so Kim Kardashian, what we have to start to understand is that all of these celebrities are mind controlled, all of them are mind controlled slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're in a prison that they don't realize they're in. Why? Because like Ashley Biden and Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, who showered with his daughter, that is her father.
Mm-hmm.
This has been normalized at such a level that it is natural to do this. And the cause for outrage would be that it threatens Kim Kardashian's bottom line,
mm-hmm.
her brand. She is an egoic driven individual. She is not someone that is even remotely in the same universe as 99% of the people who occupy this planet.
Yep. Yep.
Right. So we have to stop thinking that these people are going to somehow see what we see and respond the same way that we would respond, because they're fueled. Okay. Where this gets dangerous is that these people believe that they're going to illuminate humanity through their ideology and their view of things. And it's a mixed bag because on the one hand, they come from a divine creator when they're born into this world, but Satan has painted itself all over them and they've allowed that to become part of their identity. So what they espouse to you, this is kind of goes back to what I said 2 years ago on that Instagram that went everywhere. And you were a large part of that being, on Twitter. But these people get up there and they espouse to you about social justice, tolerance, equality, diversity. It's from a mind controlled slave position of a very tiny cult of belief. So they can get up there and say those things to you as though they are true without having to look at it as, I mean, they could even lie to you for the greater good in their view.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is where all of this goes through not intelligence, but deception and being clever. They're not that intelligent. They're just clever. And that's as best they can be. So anyway, to your point and what this is that yes, we are going to be seeing more of this because we're going to be aware of it now. Mm-hmm. We've been in some ways forced to be aware of this, but like I said, how this story ends, and it's not the Balenciaga story that ends, but how we respond to this time is really the truth that says to these psychopaths who are betting that we will deceive ourselves yet again, to then believe that their world and what they have to offer us is something of value. And there will be people, believe me when I say this, this is hard to imagine. There will be people, unaware people, unconscious people with money and power and influence who don't see what you and I see.
Mm-hmm.
And worse, they're okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And that's going to be a hard part for a lot of us to come to understand, that how that person or that person there could ignore reality and make up a story that says somehow that that's okay. But the other ones are the true believers who do believe it's okay. And if you go back and you look at any of their photos and the books they read and the friendships they have, it's all dark, dark occult magic. That's all they wield. That's the only power that they really have. And it's only on unconscious people who fall for their NLP, sex and death ritual tricks. That's all they have left as their play.
Okay. Abe, let's bring you in, buddy. How you doing? Good to see you.
It's great to see you, John Paul, again. I recently played our video from that transhumanism and technocracy, so I want to get back to Neuralink in just a minute. But to key in on what you're saying here, very importantly, isn't the story that's here Kanye's rejection of the satanic cult and rituals and the exposure of that through the in your face use of children? QAnon didn't tell us that the satanic cult and child sacrifice actually existed. The media did, but I'm going to go ahead and take it as a cue proof, because the media told us that this was true. Now it's true. So your point being, though, right, isn't the story here Kanye and the is it his stepping away from not allowing the occult to overtake him?
So on an individual level, yes. But from a programming standpoint, if this was 5-6 years ago, I'd say it'd be more uniform, right? People go, oh my God, that's outrageous. But like, what is he saying? And then we'd keep listening and listening and listening and listening and want more and more and more and more. Where we are today is that, like Trump, he has split that mirror in two. So he's a polarizing figure. Joe Rogan has been made a polarizing figure. Elon Musk is a polarizing figure. So there is a separation of society unfolding, which we don't see the end result of what that will look like today. So on the one hand, he's telling you the truth, but it's in a package that's not very comforting, right? Because on the one hand, you can't defend him personally because you don't know him. But online, it's all about, you know, his character and what he said, and this guy's effing crazy, and you're not going to go arguing with people what information he gives, right?
I found it to be refreshing. There is a no shortage of radical leftist Nazis in this country and around the world.
Correct. And I don't disagree with you, but here's where I'm looking at it from a higher perspective. And I'm not disagreeing with you. In our dualistic system, so I'm going to go a little bit back in time, but if you go to 2016 and you look at Westworld season one, it's all there. Dr. Ford, played by, Anthony Hopkins, tells Bernard in the church before he goes to give his final speech to all of the guests who come into the park, who rape, murder, and kill everyone, all the hosts, the souls, us. He says, you all are psychopaths and therefore you can't change. So I'm going to give you one last story, which is all the things that you all want, the violence, the chaos, the murder, but they don't realize that the wheel, everything is going to turn on them. Okay. Now, where I'm looking at this on a timeline perspective is, yes, this is an awakening of consciousness that is coming online, however it's coming online, however it's doing. But the long game that is being played here is not the victory of Ye or Alex Jones or Trump or any of these others. It's the net effect that it creates another polarity in a paradigm of a world between the godless and the God. And so Luciferians, and this is what I have come to understand, Luciferians sit at the top of the world. Okay. But the Satanists are the churchgoers. They're the believers, but they will be sacrificed for anything that is necessary. So psychopaths who can't change, who are corruptible and corrupted and servants of that monster of greed, are very short-sighted, and they believe in the enslavement of humanity. Whereas Luciferianism is a little bit more modernized, which is, well, it's free will, but you got to figure it out for yourself. So they will, this is my belief. Okay. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I think it's very important what he's doing, however it's coming to fruition, as awkward and as stumbling forward as it might be, because it's not in the nice clean package that everybody would want. But at the same time, it's like, what do you do with that information? Are we now looking at heroes and villains again, right? Are we going back into a story of Trump, yay, Musk? What I'm saying is it's replacing one authority with another authority. And that's where I'm looking at this at a more holistic place.
It's a great point.
Yeah. So I'm not in disagreement with the, how it's playing down here in the world, but I'm looking at it at a higher perspective consciousness. And where we may go in a world where we are given a world of choices and free will, but it's all based on beliefs now. There is no, and the media told you this actually with Trump, and that's not because Trump was the guy, but they said it was in a post-truth world. Because of that disruption, the post-truth world was the false world, and the new world that comes online, especially when we're talking about technology, is it's whatever you want it to be.
Alan,
and that's really where we're going with this.
I want to leave it there because I want to make sure we get to all the rest of the callers. We got like seven people on the line. I love you. Thank you for calling in, and thank you, Abe, for the gold pills.
Good to see you.
Appreciate you, brother. Make sure you guys are following Uncensored Abe. And then, of course, he is my co-host on Thursdays, DJ Vector, coming in next. And guys, I want to make sure we get to all the callers tonight. And I know John always has so much to say when you ask questions.
I'll try to be brief.
I was going to say, I appreciate brevity on behalf of the callers. I do want to make sure we get everybody. Vector, you're on the line. Good to see you, buddy.
Hello. How are you going, Red Pill? Hello, to your guest. I really appreciate everything that you've been saying. It's just unbelievable, John. Thank you very much for everything that you're doing. It's, very eye opening. So hello from Australia, I suppose. So there's that. Yeah.
Welcome.
Yes. I'm a bit lost for words, actually. It's been one of those sort of shows, you know, it's just been unbelievable.
So much to think about.
My head's blown. Like I've been talking about this a lot. It goes back to the fact that, I mean, somebody at work, I said to him a couple of days ago, it's about good and evil. You know, when you really, really break it down, he's like, no, there's a lot of gray area and that kind of thing. I'm like, yes, but like when you go and you take all these concepts and everything that people are looking at, you can either look at it from the lens of, is this good? Is this good for humanity? Is this, according to God's laws and that sort of thing? Or is it, against humanity? So there's that. I have to talk about the sacrifices, John, that Kanye West mentioned. He mentioned Michael Jordan. He mentioned all sorts of people. We've known for some time that if you want to get to these high levels in the Illuminati in your career in Hollywood or the, you know, the rap scene, I won't even talk about the things that you need to do to, you know, get your contract as a rapper, homosexuality, all kinds of stuff. you know, that people talk about, you know. So there's that. But yeah, it seems like these people sold their souls and there's no way out for them. I don't really know what to do about how to save them. Can they be saved? Are they demonically possessed? Is this somewhere where there's just nowhere else to go? I just don't understand how to help these people. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help save and defend my own family, my country, you know, your country, because there's no other way. But like, I just see this demonic force and, are we fighting a losing battle here before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns?
No, I think that those are excellent questions and thank you for, everything you said. I believe that we have to realize that we're the real and true worthy sons and daughters of the living Creator. And begin to live it. The way this story ends and how it all, or the ending is a new beginning, however you want to wish to look at it, I don't believe that this world is meant to be won. I believe that it is to bring the divine in. And when I look at what makes these individuals susceptible to these demonic programs, it's child abuse. The child abuse is the root cause of almost 90% of all the shit that happens in this world. If you really look at it, and it doesn't mean that it's just beatings and sexual abuse and pedophilia. We're at a time where we really need to redefine a lot of things, such as what constitutes a safe world for children. We can't make that possible without going within ourselves to see where it is that, and this is the truth, where the devil exists in us. Unconscious people create unconscious children, and how you get there is by a lack of love and care. So when you withdraw care in a child's moment of need, that child is having to create a disassociation from its reality. And later in life, we'll have to create a story around that trauma as to what happened. And it will more than likely be a distortion, which it will play out in its lifetime. Where you can have the greatest effect, I believe, for these individuals, and I did this is my own personal story in the sense of my mother and father, who both abused me as a child sexually.
I'm sorry to hear that, bro.
Thank you. But I cannot tell anybody what to do. All I can tell you is what I know is that I allowed myself to feel that pain for which they did unto me, and found myself committing myself to healing generational traumas within my bloodline by seeing and feeling the truth about my reality. What these people do at the satanic level to their children is they disassociate their children from the moment they're born and potentially before then, so that they're cut off from God. Laura Logan said this the other day about children being the closest thing we have to God here, and that is absolutely, yeah, positively 100% true. And the battle for our children, as you see it unfolding today, is a real battle that we must stand up to say there is a line that can never be crossed. But more importantly, on our side of that line, we have to create natural law and bring that into being, not through governments, not through corporations, but actually in our communities, to bring that presence in there. There is a online, I wish to tell everyone, the United People Foundation. This is where Ronald Bernard is involved. And there is a declaration of peace. And I would remind people to go to look at that and look at all the points on there of what it constitutes. Now, you don't have to necessarily believe in everything that is said there, but the foundation of that for which is laid out there in the Declaration of Peace is some of the most honest, authentic, and profound statements made about the rights of children. And if we were to embody that and stand up and organize ourselves and make that possible by creating, by creation, not just spoken, but creating that and showing people what that would look like, where it's not authoritarian, where it doesn't require surveillance or technologies to modify behaviors, but we began to heal ourselves, we would show other people that they could do that work as well. And you would hold yourself up as a mirror to others to say, I don't know what to do, but I know that this is possible. And here's what my lived experience taught me. When you begin to speak from your own lived experience, you will heal those people that are the Kim Kardashians of the world, the Ariana Grandes of the world, even the people that are masquerading around as Satanists, they're in pain. Their pain causes our pain. And our pain is their pain. When you start to see yourself as no different than anybody else, which is not something I can tell people that they must do, but if you were to see and remember this, never forget this, the only way you can see something is to feel it in here first. You cannot make somebody see something that they do not feel in here. The only way that they can feel it in here is through you. And when you give them that care and when you give them that love, they are, you are unlocking the child inside of them that is locked up inside of that atomic bunker, as Ronald Bernard said. You may not be able to change all of them, but many of them are dying. They are dying to get out of that prison. And there is a bridge, and I'm not telling everybody to go around here and, oh, we should just, you know, love them and care for them. No, they would kill you. There are people in Hollywood. Let me just be very clear. What I said 2 years ago, and I had to deal with the fear of being killed. The only thing that was different was that I didn't sign my thing on the blood thing and most of the stuff. I mean, I've had people tell me that they have a deep fake on me raping and murdering children on film.
Oh my God.
And that they were ready to release that at any time. And I had to let go of that fear and say, I'm not going to be defined by that message. And the thing is that, look, and where we're at right now in this time, in every moment going forward, we have choices to be made, and they cannot be waiting for other people to make them for us anymore. Like I said earlier, that's how we got into this mess. But where you can have grace and peace is to create a safe world for all children, and you don't know what's possible. I was in a dark place years ago. In my life, I was dating strippers and I was thinking that I was going to, And that's not about guilt and shame. It's just
the ego, really.
Yeah, man.
Like I was just lonely. My wife left me and I was dating strippers every night of the week for years on end. Everyone who knows.
And it was fun for a while. Right. I mean, I didn't sleep
with them for the most part.
You were a nice guy.
That's all. Yeah.
I never went through that phase in life, guys.
I know you missed out, Zach. Come on.
Well, you were never married and got divorced.
We'll get you right. We'll set you right.
All right. I'll take you to the strippers, bro. At least we'll kill me.
I was lucky to find love. All right. Listen, Vector, that was a profound monologue there, John. But Vector, we got to go on to the next caller so we can get everybody in. I appreciate you calling. Anything you want to tell the audience?
Appreciate you.
Thank you, John. And thank you from the people of Australia. I'll be in touch another time. Thank you, Zach. I love you, man. I love you, brother. Bye, guys.
Love you too. Talk to you soon. Okay. And next caller, USA, all the way. We'll bring them in. And audio connecting. Before USA All the Way gets their audio connected, I need to say thank you very much to Rebecca on Cash App. She said, excellent conversation tonight. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. USA All the Way, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
I can. Is this Mr. Amazing?
It is. Okay. How are you?
Good, good, man. Glad to hear you. Two nights in a row. What's your question or comment for John?
Roger that. First off, I have to say DJ Vector is more of a patriot than 95% of the people that live in our country, and I absolutely love DJ Vector, so shout out.
He is absolutely committed to the cause, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a quick two-parter. One thing that he was mentioning earlier was getting people that are in the dark, and especially those that are on the left, to wake up and hopefully come over to our side. And one of those events that was one of the biggest things that actually started me on my journey, believe it or not, was whenever it was during the DNC, during the 2015-2016, Hillary Clinton was literally stealing the election primary from Bernie Sanders, and they were having the DNC event. And if you Google, or even, they might even still have it on YouTube, but type it in there, white noise machines, in the DNC. And the people that showed up for Bernie Sanders, they put white noise machines over top of the Bernie Sanders sections so that they could, by microphone, cancel out the boos.
Yeah.
Every time they said Hillary Clinton, and the Bernie Sanders people mm-hmm. were booing. Mm-hmm. And these people started rioting in the streets like they did for Antifa in 2020. They were flipping over cars in front of the building. They literally flipped over cars in the street. It was nowhere on CNN or MSNBC. I literally saw someone posted a video on YouTube or whatever it was. And the only way I actually saw it was I started looking it up. And sure enough, there was like 50 YouTube videos. Oh, these people, they installed this, that, and the other thing. So we all know that the left goes out into the street and they mm-hmm. protest and they mm-hmm. gather the way that the right doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And these college age liberals that were all Bernie supporters volunteering, donating money and their time to support something that they actually thought was something that they would support, got lambasted and frauded by the Hillary Clinton machine. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you had people on the left that got stabbed in the back by their own side. Mm-hmm. And if that hit mainstream the way it should have, we would be looking at an entirely different nation right now.
Mm-hmm.
They would see that they were being used as pawns, used mm-hmm. as tools. When the people on the left realize that they are being used as game pieces, so that the people on the left can solidify their power. And the only reason these useful idiots, as they call it, are being allowed to speak is whenever they're saying stuff that goes in their favor. As soon as you have someone on the left that starts talking out of turn, boom, mm-hmm. they get cut off. They get called a conspiracy theorist. They get lambasted and shut down and deplatformed. And Kanye West in one night lost, what was it, $2 billion or was it $4 billion? I don't even know. It's a ridiculous amount of money. As soon as they start speaking out of turn, they get shut down. So look up mm-hmm. white noise machine during the DNC 2016 mm-hmm. election. But the other thing I wanted to point on was the AI.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very personal conversation that I actually had at a business meeting. It was actually a Christmas business meeting, and they were doing a whole lot of AI upgrades in the the company that I happen to be working in. And essentially what this gentleman who's, you know, like the CEO level echelon of the company, I'm very, very, very at the bottom. But we were just having a conversation and this gentleman said, you know, if someone goes in, they break their leg at work or whatever it is, they're going to go in to the hospital and they're going to walk up with a tablet and they're going to scan the person with a tablet. And they're going to say, oh, you broke your, you know, fibula, tibula, whatever it is. And the computer is going to talk to the operating room. The computer is going to talk to all of the insurance and billing companies.
Yeah.
The billing company on that side, that computer is going to pick it up. And they're going to run through all the figures and they're going to price it out. And before you know it, this person's going to get moved like a machine. They're just going to get pushed through everything. And I asked the judge and he's like, before you know it, they're like, you really aren't going to need people to do like 90% of the stuff. And I said,
yep.
Well, let me ask you this question. If the computers are really solving all of these issues for humans and they're talking to each other, what happens whenever the AI computers realize that all of the problems that they have to solve are human problems? And the fastest way to solve all of the problems are to simply eliminate the source of the problems, which are the humans.
Mm-hmm. That's a potential that, okay, so I'll tell you, the DNC part of that. And I was aware of that. I remember that because I had friends there. The left is being used as a sacrificial lamb during this time. Society is going to collapse upon the Democrat Party. That is in the cards. The financial collapse of Wall Street is underway, and the digital dollar and all, how it will play out, I can't tell you. I don't know the timeline, but it will happen in the next 2 years. Okay. So I want to explain this just briefly about the left because I was a part of them. They have been stroked at a level that probably cannot be imagined. The gaslighting that has happened over the last, let's just say since the second term of Obama, is unprecedented. And it actually goes back to like what we were talking about before, the history repeats itself and we forget it. But they cannot come out of their mind control program by themselves because they've been given so many threats where they are rejecting. Let me, and this is not against the patriots of this country. They are rejecting the falsehood of this system. The prescription that they've been given is also a falsehood. So they are damned if they do and damned if they don't.
By design.
By design. And this is where they have the fear of people like you and others becoming an authoritative right, a Nazi. That will all depend on the people of this country in choosing which kind of world they want in response to this time. That's all how this works. It's that you can go back through history and the rise of Nazism in response to the perversion and as a front against communism. It's all the same thing. So that is their burden. The reality is that for those who we wish to liberate, it has to be that you create a world that they want to live in too. And it's not one where politics rule the day or, and this kind of goes into your thing about AI. they will be, the ones that are not violent, don't get arrested or go into a cult, but they'll be the ones who believe in the technology as well. And in a different way, but Carrie Madej told me this, and she has given many interviews on this. She's one of the people who've been very brave in getting out there about what this COVID-19, COVID AI is, 19AI. They are, the rich. And when I say the rich, I don't mean wealthy, you know, just people who have money. I'm talking about the controllers of the corporations that all are anchored under this idea of business and the way we do things have all been shown the new technology that's coming online. It's behavioral modification technology for the workplace. It's going to be innovative to get rid of all the inefficiencies of bad management and performance. And it takes metrics on a whole other level. And I'm not going to go through all the progressions of this, but what you are saying is absolutely correct. It's the internet of all things, where your intellectual property, which is your biological intellectual property, is the marketplace. So when people, what I was saying to Zach earlier about, you know, it is great and they will sell it at first to people who have all of these paraplegic, can walk again, all, you know, it's great, but at what cost? Because you'll sync up with all the other systems that they have of ready for you and have already sold to millionaires and billionaires, the majority of which have been created in this time.
I have a huge thing to comment on what you just said right there with the Internet of Things.
Hold on, real quick. Mr. Mason, we've got to go on to the next caller, so I want you to make this point, and then we've got a segue.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, super quick. That whole Pokemon Go thing, one of the actual people that was behind the creation of that stuff, there was companies that were marketing into that. And they had companies, so they would post those little digital things, and they had what they wanted to create were footfalls, where they actually posted a, what do they call it, Pokemon Ghost or whatever, in their area so that people would come marching with their little phones and tablets and all that stuff. And they would, they're all the little coffee shops are right around the little Poke Ghost. And then all of a sudden these people were going into their stores. And it was not an accident. And people, you know, like companies that were museums or Azalea Gardens or whatever, that just weren't having a lot of businesses, they would put one of these things and then boom, they just had a spike in business. But yeah, that is by design. It is people control and they're using technology to do it. I love you guys. God bless America. Zach, I love you.
Love you too, brother.
As always, God bless America.
God bless you and God bless America. Talk to you soon. Peace. All right. Next caller coming in. We are in overdrive officially. It's 11:13. Caller, you're on the air. Make sure you mute that stream and let's hear your name.
You know my name.
Ah, DJ. Good to hear from you, buddy. How you been?
All right. How you doing, Zach?
Excellent. Excellent. So what do you think about John tonight?
Oh, I think the show is great. I think he's in a lot of good stuff. I want to try to make it brief, but you know, that's, you know, how that goes. But anyway, so he was talking earlier about, what people need to learn and unlearn and unlearning stuff. It's not that people need to unlearn. I don't think it's that people need to remember who they are. Mm-hmm. There's actually, a good series of books. It comes in audio tape as well. Well, not audio tape anymore, but really audio books, I guess. Conversations with God. Have you ever read this book, Zach?
Conversations with God. I've heard of it, but I don't believe I've read it.
Yeah, it's a profound
book. Very good.
Yeah.
That's a very, very good book. And it talks about remembering yourself to the God force, to God. And when you learn how to remember yourself to God and keep yourself centered on that, things happen. You can create things just as if God had created things. It just manifests in a different way because you're on a different plane. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very good book. I would recommend everybody in the audience get this. There's a, I think it's a 3-part series. Okay, moving on. The Balenciaga thing, the Balenciaga ad. That is a New World Order depiction of a child being sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. You know, I spotted so many things in that ad. I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff in here. And yeah, that's terrible, terrible. But here's the thing. There's like this unwritten, I've always noticed there's like this unwritten rule, universal rule, that evil has to be announced. Mm-hmm. It can't just do. Mm-hmm. It has to be announced ahead of time. People have to see it ahead of time. And it has to be, as funny as this sounds, okayed with God. Now, not saying that God does evil, but so like, let's say a thing like Balenciaga, they throw it in your face. A lot of people accept it. And if the people accept it, if the people want it, if the people cry out for it, God is the Father. He's going to give the people what they cry out for. So that's how the evil manifests itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, these Satanists and Luciferians, they're a very, very small minority. That's correct. That's why they're so out there now. They know they're losing. They know they're yes. Basically lost. So, you know, they're out there right out in your face now. They're not even hiding it. Like, you know, when I grew up and all throughout my whole life, you know, people say praise God or, you know, people go to church and everybody prays together and everybody sings together and you say grace at the table. And we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance every day in school and things like this. We were open, very openly. It didn't matter what religion you were. If you were Jewish, if you were Catholic, if you were Christian, it didn't matter what religion you are. You're very open about your religion, while the Satanists were very, very quiet. You never heard somebody come out and say, I'm a Satanist. I believe in Satan. I'm a Luciferian. Never heard of it. Right now, they're putting it out in your face.
Yep.
And, okay, so that's that. So now the lady that was on earlier, she was speaking about, somebody, I think it was you, John Paul, said something about words. Words, a lot of people don't even understand the words that they're hearing and they're saying. Mm-hmm. And I just use the word that is the wrong word when you really think about it. The word understand. Under is below. So if you understand, you're standing under the true meaning. You're not at the true meaning. Interstand is a more accurate word to use. But they teach these words, you know, and people just use them. They don't even know what they mean. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when they say, there was a commercial when I was a kid for Tootsie Pops, with the owl. So they were trying to figure out how many licks to take to do a Tootsie Pop. And he's like one, two, and he bites it on the third one, which means he's corrupt. And he says three, right? But they teach you that the owl is wise. Well, what does the owl represent? The owl represents Moloch. Moloch is Satan. So he's an evil god that sacrifices children, you know? So people don't realize the things that they're taught. Two more things. Miracles. I've had many miracles happen in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't think within the construct. Well, I have to sometimes think within the constructs of being a human being, but that's not how I think of myself. I don't think of myself as what you see when you look at me. You can't see me. I can speak and you hear me speak. I can do other things that you can see me do with this mechanical body that I use, but this body is not me. I'm inside here. I'm my soul inside here. I'm my consciousness inside of this construct. Mm-hmm. So I run this construct. So since I know that I run this construct, my thoughts are very important and my thoughts need to be aligned with the creator in order to help myself. Mm-hmm. If I'm not aligned in that way, I can't survive in this atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I slowly or sometimes rapidly become sick and so on and so forth. Okay, that covers that. And as far as, somebody asked about the people who sold their souls, mm-hmm. those people who sold their souls, I'm sorry to say, they made a blood sacrifice to sell their souls. They're done.
Yeah.
There's no getting those people back. Jesus shed our blood for his blood for us so that we may live and live abundantly. And if you shed your blood for Satan, you're on the total opposite end of that. It's too late. You signed that contract once you shed that blood. There's no coming back. Your consciousness, your soul will never be rejoined to that light from which you came. I guess that's about it. I hope I didn't cover too much.
No, you're good. Good, DJ. I love your perspective. You've always got great stuff to say when you call in. Listen, buddy, I really appreciate your call, and thank you so much.
Zach, wait, I have one thing for you. Okay. That I don't know if you saw this. This kind of slipped by, and I caught it the other day, and I went and I looked at it, and I got it. Look up on your computer, Head of National Guard discusses inauguration security on Good Morning America. You're going to be quite surprised when you hear what he says. This video came out in January of 2021. January 18th, I think.
Okay, I just found it. I'll watch it tonight.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be surprised when you hear what he says.
Okay, all right, sweet, dude. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah. Listen, right. Love you guys. I know you guys love us. God bless America. God bless the world. Let's keep this fight going. We are winning.
Amen. Love you, brother. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Next caller coming in. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get a name?
Hello?
Hi, caller. What's your name?
Oh, Isabel.
Isabel, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, I kind of saw the light of God a few, like about 3-4 months ago, and helped me quit smoking, change my attitude in life, and I just want to be a better person. I'm listening to what you guys say, and I'm listening to Anons and a lot of the prophets and Rumble, and things are making a lot of sense. Been a Roman Catholic my whole life. I kind of walked away from that. I think it's just a bunch of bullshit now. It's just people need to wake up, and I'm waiting for people to wake up so things will start happening, because I see it already. Mm-hmm. And you have to, like, blind not to see it, and I don't get it. And I have family members that don't see it, and I've tried to speak to them, and they're like, oh, you're crazy and all that. And it's like, well, no, you got to listen to what I'm saying. And it's just, I don't know. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. And
well, real quick, from my perspective, all you can do is be a light in the darkness. You know, like John and I were saying earlier, people are entrenched in their worldview. You know, mm-hmm. who they are and what they present. I mean, you're talking about decades of programming and this idea of what's happening in the world. And you can't force anyone to wake up. All you can do is offer information and try to help them out along the way. And when it's time, it'll happen. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I echo that. And, you know, the way that you can best help them is to remember what it was like before you woke up and how hard that was. When you compare yourself to now and where you'll be in tomorrow or 6 months from now. I agree with Zach on this. You can't force it. You can't force it upon anybody. And it really goes back to giving acts of love through care delivered to people that dispel the beliefs, the false beliefs that someone has to hold up about you being crazy, right? I mean, I'm not saying if you have, you know, narcissistic, abusive family members that gaslight you left and right, and you go in there and you get, you know, torn apart, you're not being a martyr to the cause. It's, you have to create your own space. And it's like what I said is that at this time, it's, if you really love them and care for them, help build the world that they'll want to live in when they wake up. I mean, really, yeah. It's about building those bridges today that will enable you for a future date. And the other part about faith, and that's the part we don't know, is yeah. where it will all go and how it will all end. I mean, look, I'm only saying this in relation to you, not to compare, but if you had told me 5 years ago that this is where I would be today and what I had to go through in order to get here on an emotional, mental, spiritual, and even psychic level, I would have said no thanks. You couldn't have handed me a brochure to say, hey, you know, this is how it'll all end. And the truth is, if you knew how it would end, then you really wouldn't be in the story of your life, because you would have already known how it finishes. And then you'd say, all right, well, I'll just wait here until that time comes. So it really is, it's ever flowing and eternal. And the thing that you must believe, or must know in your own way of your own lived experiences, that God will touch all of us in ways that we don't see. And the Father wants, if ever you view the Creator, wants you to come back home.
Yeah.
And that's the and ultimately, I do believe that your ultimate authority is peace. And that's what Jesus was. He didn't go around talking about taking out these people. Yeah, he turned over the tables and called them out, but his ultimate authority was peace. And he gave that peace because he was that peace. And that was the refuge for so many who had none or very little. And it was the ultimate thing that turned, like, I believe that, like what that, I forgot her name and I'm so sorry, but the first caller was like, the words alone cured her mental health issues. I've had people who have written to me and I don't know them, so I can't say with certainty because it doesn't matter whether I'm a psychologist or not, but I've had people write to me that said, I listened to one of your interviews years ago and I got off all my prescription drugs and I healed my bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. I don't know how the hell I did that. All I could do was speak the most authentic truth about what I could articulate at that time. And I was telling Zach, I mean, I don't do talking points when I go on interviews. I just let it flow and let it move me where it does. Now, that doesn't mean that I am imbued with some special power, but I know that the suffering that I went through gives me the greatest compassion and empathy for people that most people would say, no effing way. If you looked at the rap sheet of my mother and father and read that in a paper, you'd say, hang those people. But I came to the point where my father was dying and I went to him and I had unconditional love for him, not because I had shame and guilt, but I had let it all go because I healed myself. And then I loved him. I wished our relationship could have been different in the last 5 days that I saw him, but I gave him every care because I said that child did not sign up for this. This was not their plan A. And yeah. it gave me the ability to forgive him, but not ask for it, to give it. And that's what Christ said. Forgive them and they will be forgiven. However you understand it or don't. That's what faith is. I don't know what all of this is. If it's a play, if it's a simulation, if it's a conscious game, if it's not real. But I believe that the Father of all is working through all of his children. No matter, like if you look at all the people who took the shot and are dying, their soul level, at a soul level, they understood what they were coming into, and their sacrifice is our awakening.
It's true. Yeah. As horrible as it is.
As horrible as it is, it's not like, oh, well, that makes it okay. No, it doesn't.
No.
But what it does is it says life is so precious and fragile and magnificent. I have to do something. I am called to do something. If I die tomorrow, I know that I tried everything that I could to help where I could in all of my flawed ways with all of my thoughts that defeated me both before, during, and after. But I'm not going to go down knowing that I am a child of the creator of heaven and earth, as is everybody else who is born here. And I will go down fighting for that reason alone, that I came in at a soul level understanding that my life and what should have happened. I should have been a psychopath. I should have been a sociopath. I should have been a narcissist. And I could have very easily, if I had nobody who cared for me, would have been a pedophile. And when I look at all those people and I look at Hunter Biden and I look at Ashley Biden, as horrible as it is, the things that Hunter has done, I also see a tormented child in there.
Exactly. I have tried to make this point to people so many times. You know, I mean, Hunter was a child. All these people who went through this trauma-based mind control were innocent. And it doesn't excuse the things they've done in their life, but they've gone through something similar to other people who have come through the other side and been able to learn from that trauma. And, you know, I can't help but feel some level of empathy for what Hunter went through. And I know that there are so many other people out there who have done the same. Caller, we got to leave it there and move on to the next one.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Thank you very much. All right. Need to also say thank you to Freight Awakening. He says, what do you both think of Andrew Tate? Is he overboard with his testosterone? Is he good for the youth in America? Also, who would win in a fight? Tate versus Corn Pop. My money is on Tate. I think that Andrew Tate is a meme, you know? Again, there's value in the stuff that he says. I think that, you know, there has, you know, for all lack of a better word, there is this like pussification of American men. And people have to be strong. They have to be providers. Men need to do this. I mean, this is in our DNA. And, they want us to bow in a number of different ways. And I'm just not willing to do that. But I think Andrew Tate is a meme at the end of the day. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. No, I don't have anything to add.
Okay. And then Trisha also said, Shelley 66, I'm so sorry. My stepfather and his father, a minister, abused me. I had to forgive them so that I could heal. I broke that curse on my family. I'm sorry for what you've been through. And then Kanakaz 808 says, aloha, interesting show as always. I think a few things may be showing up to you soon. Let me know if you need anything else. Glad to help. Thank you so much, Nakaz. I really appreciate it. And then MX Cooper 517 says, thank you, Zach and John, for sharing. Check out this link, DNC Playbook in Action. Have you seen this? I pulled that up. This is a memo from David Brock from October 25th, 2022. David Brock's memo detailing Facts First USA. I'm not familiar with it, but I'm going to dive into it after the show. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get a name?
Sterling Cannabis.
Sterling
Cannabis. How you doing, Zach?
Excellent, brother. So good to hear from you. How are you tonight?
I am real good. John Paul? You have given me some stuff to chew on tonight.
Right.
When you mentioned that you were abused as a child,
yeah.
I can't say exactly I was there, but child abuse was very much around me in my youth.
Mm-hmm.
And in my pre-middle school and middle school years, it was very omnipresent at times. God protected me and kept me out of the storm, but I was in the eye of the storm where it was nice and calm. And I saw a lot of stuff. And when I got a little bit older, later in middle school, it protected me from advances from pedophiles that had moved in next door to my mother.
Yeah. You're a blessed man. You're a fortunate man.
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
I had three older sisters. My father died shortly after I was born. There's only one of them left. And she is ultra, ultra liberal. She is an RN. But when the virus came out, she went on, and in her little town, she made 10,000 masks and gave them out. Even though she had the knowledge in her head that cloth masks isn't going to do anything with a virus. She had that knowledge, but she went ahead with it. We have butted heads forever. A lot of the trauma that was delivered to me was kind of at her hands. The oldest of the sisters had to go away because she had a drug problem, but she had two sons that were 5 and 6 years younger than me. My mom didn't take care of them. She put them in a Catholic home in Detroit, and they got raped. I was forced to go with my sister to take them there one day, and they were screaming and crying the whole way, "Don't take us there, don't take us there." It was the first time in my life I had ever heard of such a thing. God. And she just went and took them and left them. There's other things too.
Yeah,
I don't want her to go down in flames, but I have approached her with the very wrong ways. You've definitely brought that to light. I'm not sure that you've given me any ammunition on how to go forward with that relationship. Mm-hmm. But, at least I know that, narcissistic, domineering personality that she has, I'm not going to get a whole lot of headway, right. But she is the only relative I have from my generation.
Yeah.
I've got to try.
100%. First of all, I thank you for sharing that with me. That's probably not an easy thing to do on a talk show. Especially anonymously, but I will say this, the efforts that you make, stumble as you may, you don't know what's possible when you try to care from a place of care inside of you. Narcissists, of course, we could go through all their traits, but the reality is that they are a defensive child inside. And the reason why they have to be in that position is not about being right and winning over you. People mistake this. That is a effect of what they're trying to do. But they're
she was 11 years old when our dad died.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. She was in middle school, the worst time that anybody ever goes through.
Mm-hmm. That pain is what she's carrying. That's really what
I realize that.
The deepest shame and guilt is what a narcissist carries of any human being.
You know, I mean, having said everything that you did, Sterling, you know, I mean, I can't imagine that she would be ignorant to the truth of it. I mean, she must on some level recognize what happened, what her part was in it. And, you know, who wants to face that? You know, I mean, like she's gone this far in her life without admitting it.
Yeah, we're talking, you know, we're talking stuff that was 60 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And she's got her mind made up in a story for that. I don't know your history with her, but if there are moments that you can remember where you did have good times with them, I would try to bring those back and make them new again. If you wish to have a relationship, sometimes relationships are acceptance that this is as far as it can go. Mm-hmm. I have that with my own siblings. And, you know,
I think that there definitely has to be very set boundaries with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's areas that are way too tender.
Yes. Yeah. And they usually trip over those boundaries or abuse them because they didn't have that when they were younger. So they're normalized boundaries. They're not the same as most people's, but, I wish I could give you advice, but I can tell you that make every stride you can to show that individual that you care for them, not through arguments, but really like where your heart centered is as best you can. And, you never know how it'll change you, really. And that dynamic, I've dealt with narcissistic people and narcissistic behaviors, and I'm not telling anybody to go, you know, if you have somebody who's dangerous, don't, by all means, don't call them out and don't show, that vulnerable side to you because they will plug into it and rip you to pieces. But what I'm saying is if there is any kind of footing or grounding that you can build from on some kind of common ground, it's not to trick them or manipulate them into the rest of the stuff you want to talk to them about, but you may have to measure and see where they're at on each one of those things before you really know what you can do with them.
The very last thing I did was just yesterday. I sent her an email. Sent the same one to you, Zach. I don't know if you've read it or not, but it was an email that had a link on it with a bunch of information about some lawsuits that are going in front of the Supreme Court in January that could take down the White House and 300 people from Congress. And people are all named in the lawsuit. They are going to see this case. What happens with it, we'll see, right? But, you know, I sent her this email. And to not be harsh, what I said is that I want you to know that this is happening. And if it happens, a lot of the people that you think are wonderful are going to go down. Now, maybe if something like that does happen, maybe she'll be willing to talk to me because I have some information that she doesn't have. But I don't know. But at least I didn't say all of your people are going to burn in hell because of it.
That's a better approach. Yeah, I'd say that.
Oh, all right.
That's a much better way to do it.
Sterling, listen, I hate to cut you off, buddy, but I've got to go to the bathroom really bad.
I absolutely understand. Thank you very much for taking my call and listening to me rant for a minute.
I appreciate you opening up, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a blessed day now.
You too. God bless. You too. All right, final caller of the night, and then we're going to go through the other thank yous over there on the Foxhole. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get a name?
Hi, my name's Taylor.
Hi, Taylor. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm in Chile, Philly, and I just want to say I saw Game Day, and I really like it.
Well, thank you.
I'll keep it brief. I'm just going to say my opinion, but it will lead into my question.
Okay.
So I honestly think like the Kanye and the Elon, it's very much another distraction. The whole Neuralink is very is very, in my opinion, just unnecessary. As someone who experiences autoimmune, there's beautiful modalities that can heal and do very transformative healing to the body that we don't need that. Mm-hmm. But leading into my question, it's another distraction. So with that distraction, there's a lot of dark black magic, because that's exactly what it is that we're being blinded by. So leading into my question, what I feel is the next op, which is going to be the UFO card that they're going to roll mm-hmm. out, which is going to usher in the humanity's origin story and the lies that they're going to, you know, perpetrate with that.
Sure.
And so, although I've persevered, you know, no jab and all that other nonsense through this op, I feel optimistic going through the next one, but it's very difficult and I still have a little bit of fear. And yeah, I just want to know your take on it.
Wow.
So, you know, it's interesting that you said that, because I mean, this is something that I've been waiting for a long time. And just recently, like the head of NASA, there's this video going around that you may have seen, but the head of NASA kind of openly speculating about, quote, the origins of humanity. And then, yeah. you know, in the same breath, talking about the possibility of, you know, life in billions of galaxies. But John, go ahead.
No, this is where the dissolving of our religious institutions is right. going to take a major U-turn. It's just, I don't even know how to describe how it's going to play out. But yes, it's all to go to space, right? It's all for us to look up at the sky again, just like we did in the 60s, right? With going to the moon. And so it's a replay on that, but this origin story is what you are accurately saying. It's another adventure outside of ourselves, going back into the past. And this will fuel the cults. It'll fuel the new age. It's, I mean, it's got tentacles that we're several moments away from that, but we're not that far from it. And it's a false light awakening, because anything that goes, I'll just pointedly say it like this. Anything that goes to knowledge alone and facts and information, which is all what we've been primed to receive. When you realize you're born timeless and divine, time is a construct, and bringing back something from the past that they would offer us to do through people who have been studying all of these things for a long time. But it is basically to use for their own devices to co-opt and cajole. So there's the real awakening behind it, which is, oh my God, we aren't alone, right? But it's the overlay of that deception, which is now we have authorities to tell us what it is that we're seeing and what it is that it's. Thank you for bringing that up. But I and how we will manage that, I have no idea. But all I can say is what you begin to create today is really what matters in preparation for that. And when that happens, or how that happens, or why that happens, and how it's unrolled and how it unfolds, you know, like I said, you cannot control how people feel in the way of arguments and debate. But what you can do is you can show them what you're creating in your space. And that may afford you the conversation to say, you know, it's kind of interesting how all of this is coming out now.
Yeah.
Right. And if we were to go back and look in time, how many resets have there been? Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it at a level that, and I'm not trying to say that I'm well researched in this, but I understand how they create time, on a psychological level. So, time can be shifted according to their will. And really though, this is the truth. They're on their final timeline. They don't have any other avenues to go down other than this one. So, you know, you and I all knowing that today means that we can shift our timeline. And if enough people shift with us, not all at once, because that's a cult. I only say that because everybody feels like, well, we got to get as many people as possible. No, it can start with you, just you. And then it begins two, and then it becomes the 100th monkey. And then all of a sudden, all the other monkeys are doing the same things on the other islands because, again, consciousness in the quantum field are infinite, and we are infinite consciousness. As we are born in this world, we can go in any direction we wish to. The human being, even though they're limited in the form, we can literally create anything we want to. And that's the part that's been taken from us for so very long. And that's why these people still have more to offer us, because people are waiting for something to come in and change their life or give them that enlightenment.
So you can do it. Taylor, I love
your
name.
You can do it, Taylor.
And I appreciate the call.
Sorry for the doom and gloom question, but I have optimism, and I just am so blessed. And thank you for having me on and just letting me express that. You guys are awesome, and much love to everybody.
Much love to you, and thank you for being a light in Philadelphia, because that's a Freemason hotbed if there ever was one.
I got us here in Philly.
There we go.
I'm holding down the fort.
You got it down. I love it.
Thanks again. We really appreciate it, and I hope you have a great night.
You as well.
Bye-bye. All right, final thank yous over here on the Foxhole. Thanks again to Uncensored Abe. Matt 1776, he said, John Paul Rice, yes, this is a surprise treat. The Grouch 79, thank you for that. Cookie P Quest as well. Empress, thank you as well. Sunny Skies, thank you. Sean Joe, thank you for the two cookies. Matt 1776 said, JPR is so on point. Filter Dog 1, thanks for that can. Sean Joe says, John P., the left's beliefs are taught by the universities. It's not a choice for them. It's a dogma. There's no equivalent. I think you're right. Matt 1776, I'm going to have to re-listen to this a few times to unpack this. Each discussion is like a data download. It really is. I highly suggest you guys always go back and watch these shows twice. Average Joe Patriot, good to see you, buddy. He says, great discussion. JPR and RP, much love. Pam Day, thanks for that cookie. Philly Garden says, much love to RP and JPR and fam. The Pilled Whisperer says, who's your daddy? Daddy evil or daddy good? Your soul chooses daily. It's true. Mr. Tissue Box says, what does John Paul think of mud flood? Are you a Tartaria person?
I haven't delved into that. But yes, I do believe there was an ancient order here long before, and that we've erased history here many, many times. And that would include the pyramids as well.
Yeah, most certainly. All right. Donna Bo Libby, thank you for that can. Empress, thank you for the cookie. Omazon says, thank you both for sharing, for your sharing of love. Vader 369 says, much love, RP. Average Joe Patriot, thank you for the cookie. Oki 7 says, wonderful information. Average Joe once again dropping a can. And then Empress says, great show tonight. Yes, I have to agree. It was a great show tonight. And John, that's all thanks to you. At the end of the show, I always ask, what would you really like the audience to take away from tonight's conversation?
Love your inner child, and you heal. There's two lessons for the 21st century. When you hurt somebody, you hurt yourself. And when you heal yourself, you heal the world. And those aren't my words. Those are the words of an author who I don't have the name for. I'm going to get it, because the next show that I'm going to do, I'm going to have to tell people what book to go to read. But those two things are the absolute God honest truth. Heal yourself and you'll heal the world. Hurt somebody and you're going to hurt yourself. And the truth is, my suffering is your suffering. Your suffering is my suffering. And when we realize that everybody here is a child of God, unaware of that fact, we can do magic and miracles here every day. Every single day there is a miracle, and it doesn't even have to be known. And that's the reality, is that you create your own miracles through God and through his divinity. And it doesn't have to require so much of a belief as just a knowing within yourself that you are that thing.
All right. I love it. Final thank yous over here on Rumble. Trisha says everyone needs to hit the plus button. Please do hit that plus button. Eve FOT over on Buy Me a Coffee, 50 coffees, says thank you, Zach. Merry Christmas. I really appreciate it. And then Texas Lady, looks like this is last night, says wanted to know if my guest from last night was familiar with the website StopHate.com, where there are many hours of raw uncut footage from January 6th. And that would be David Summerall's website. He is doing a lot to fight for January 6th prisoners. Jake Lang, I just got back in touch with him today. He's going to be coming back on the show here very soon. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. John, do you want to tell everybody one more time where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at No Restrictions. And if you wish to find any of our movies, you can go to NoRestrictionsENT.com. That's our website. All of our movies are on Tubi.com, and you can probably find a lot of them on Apple now. But One Hour Fantasy Girl, Game Day, Child's Voice, Memories of a Lost Love, Nice Quiet Life, and Mark's Secret to Eternal Life.
Okay, awesome. And I highly suggest you always watch John's films through official sources so that he can get some small measure of revenue for them because he deserves it. And they screwed him on all this stuff a long time ago. So we got to keep supporting him so that he can continue to make quality family entertainment. All right. Thank you so much, John. I love you very much, man. It's been great having this conversation with you tonight. I love everybody else out there in the audience as well. Thank you for being here with us. The audio podcast of this will be coming out a little bit later on tonight. It will also be available on BitChute and then all of the other places where it airs. And don't be shy about sharing the show. We'll see you guys on Monday. Good luck and God bless.